Okay, Rabosai. If you remember, we were in the middle of towards the end of Shimon Shin Pei, and we discussed this big machlokas rishonim about partners, right? Which is like big chumra, as you can imagine. One partner's enough, the other partner's going to not lose a lot of money necessarily, but at least not make a lot of money. So lose the opportunity of a lot of profit. So let's review what we said. Shnei shutfin chenvonish ira ava la'echamehem noel and chanusim shlo yaseh shutaf. Right, if there are two shutfin, and one of them is an avil, then they have to close the joint business, and we paskin like the ravid, and the other one cannot work. But if he can do quietly in his house, mitzina, even if it's for the shutfus, that's okay. Right, the Gemara says Adam Chashim more machmir, and we say that doesn't mean because an Adam who's religiously Chashim should be more machmir. Rather, what it means is that if one partner is so famous that whatever the other partner does, wherever he goes, everyone knows it's the other partner's business, then it's also even Betzina, because Betzina becomes like the Farhesya. Okay, so this is a big issue of halacha l'maisa. It sounds pretty open and shut, like it's aser. However, through the generations, this has been a very hard thing to keep, especially in the modern economy. And they've looked for a lot of kulas. And a few kulas here are, number one, there is a Maharshal. If you look, he's quoting Rikiv Eger, Noel and Chadusam, Hainu Toch, Gimel Yom Rishonu, So the Maharshal has this kula that it's only for 3 days. After 3 days, it is mutter. He's talking about a store there. And basically, if you look inside of the Maharshal, he puts together a lot of kulas. He says, after all, it's schora, not malacha. Maybe schora is not really usser. And there are some rishonim who say shutuf is mutter. And therefore, he's mekel after 3 days. The modern day poskim say, even though this Maharshal is a chiddush, the Mishnah Brura and the Chachmas Adam here and the Gesher Chaim, everyone says that you can make a like the Maharshal and open the store after 3 days, even though it's a chiddush, it's not what the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold, but you can make a like this Maharshal. The other big kula they had is what's discussed here in the Pesach Tshuva. So cut in Dalid is Siluk. Right? After all, if the post can point out, this is found, by the way, in the where was this? Hold on. In one of the postkin. Oh, sorry, it's just in the Gesher Chaim. If one of the partners dies, then your mamash okay. That's at your gomer for the other partner, because then he doesn't know it's not the partnership is butl. If one of the partners died, he's the only partner left, so it's mutter for him. There's no longer partners at Ufel. But, you know, let's say the case we're talking about, one of the partner's relatives dies, so we have one kula after 3 days. The other kula is what's mentioned, the Chassam Sofer here. Maybe one partner can just withdraw from the shutfus and be Michael Hishir in the shutfus and leave it to the other partner, and then it's not a shutfus anymore. So, this is a bit of a trick, but the minigus rely on this. How much can we rely on this? So, in the Pesachi Chuvas of Katan Vav, which also mentioned Ricky Vager and some of the other people on the side, he says it's not enough to just write when you first make a partnership. Anytime anyone's an Ovel Lo Aleinu, they withdraw and give the whole business to the other person for that week. That doesn't work. It has to be Bishato. But when do you do a Bishato? So Chassam Sofer says if someone's relative is about to die, then he can give over the entire shutfus to his other partner, and then he won't have a share in the shutfus anymore. And then the other guy, it's only his business and it's mutter. So that's the second kula, first is Maharshal after 3 days, second is the Chassam Sofer, and this is a minig in Europe, to just be mevatel the shutfus and give it all to the other guy. Of course, what that means is that for that week of Avelos, the other guy gets all the profit and doesn't have to give half the profit to the Avel. So he says, fine, but the Chassam Sofer is correct. But if he decides to give half the profit to the Avel anyway, as a matana, that's okay. Like, he just, you know, at the end of the year, they get half and half, and he doesn't take off his half for that week, that's okay. But obviously, withdrawing means really withdrawing, and means letting the other guy have all the profit for that week. Although, obviously, the minhag was, they still split the profits.
However, the Chassam Sofer has one chumrah. He said, this is true if the guy is mistalik from the shutfus before his relative dies. But what about after his relative dies? Then he's an onen. The Chassam Sofer says, an onen is already usher in malacha. He can't be mistalik from this shutfus. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, you have to do it before the relative dies. During aninos, then you can't give someone else your business. However, he says those who are meikle, even during aninos, have what to rely on. And l'maisa, the minhag in Europe was that, or even nowadays in many places, that even during aninos, if the person didn't know before his relative died, even during aninos, he could be mistalik from the shutfus and just leave it so that it'll only be the other shutfus. Then the other shutfus is the sole owner for a week and can do the business by himself. And lemaisa, we are makel, like the Chassam Sofer says, like someone wants to, they can, but we're makel even during aninos, that if they can't really close the business for a week because it would be too hard and it would be a hefset, etc., then we are makel. The Aruch HaShulchan says that in his days, people were makel to keep the businesses open, even if he never gave it over to his partner. Everyone was makel to keep their businesses open during Shiva Bechlal. And the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't understand why. And he says it could be because in the modern day business world, it's a big hefset if you close your business. It's not just that you don't make a few bucks now. It's that you lose your customers and you lose your good name and your reputation. And you already invested so much in your inventory, etc. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that there's a limud zchus on those who stam. The business stays open during Shiva. There's a limud zchus because maybe it's all a davar ha'avei nowadays. However, if possible, if there's someone who has a business that can't close for 7 days, then the rabbi should tell him either before his relative dies or b'dieved after his relative dies. Well, the Chassam Sofer didn't like it, but it's still, there's room to be makel shas adchak to be mistalik from his business or to be makne his business to someone else. Even if there's not a shutuf, the minhag was if the business couldn't close for 7 days, he would just be makne the whole business to his manager. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we're pretty makel on this nowadays. Again, just the chazer, after 3 days, the minhag is to be makel like the Maharshal. Even within the first 3 days, the minhag is to be makel a little more than the Chassam Sofer and say, if you can give your business over to the other guy before the relative dies, fine. And if not, even during aninus for makel. And if people keep their business open without doing anything, then we also don't say anything because of the svar of the Aruch HaShulchan that maybe everything's a davar ha'avei nowadays.
Is aninus worse or better than avelus? Meaning if it's the avelus, then it's for sure too late? Or?
Yeah, if it's an avelus, we assume that's for sure too late. But aninus, the Chassam Sof really says it depends on the machloks in Ashkenazim and Sephardim. We saw whether the Yisuri Avelos applied during Aninus or not. He says, even though Ashkenazim hold, they do, there's room to be makel. Okay, so that's as far as stores go. There's a lot of other details in the poskim. They also say, this comes up in the, where does this come up? One second, yeah, and the Gilyan Maharsha brings down a svara that if the siluk is done not just privately, but like I guess in those days there were nemani hakohol, town elders who came and took care of this thing, then that's better because it's very enforceable and therefore it's not maris ayin that the avil's business is open on Shabbos. Okay, nowadays I don't think you have nemani hakohol, nothing so enforceable, so I don't think we do that. Yes?
Let's say you think it would be a big problem to not have business for the next 7 days. So you didn't sell it, but 2 days in you sort of regretted that. Is it better to, is it a Deborah outfit because now you just had a reason why you cared about it and you shouldn't sell it, or you should then sell it later?
That's a good question. I would think it's still better to sell it later than to just work later. Okay. Chaf Beis. Here's an exception. We know the Avil's not allowed to work during Shiva, and nowadays you try to be Machmer and not even do these things. But Alpidin, Kibra Abayis, Ahadachas Kosas, Atzas Amitos, Eim B'Mishom Alachal Avel. Basic housework, right, sweeping the house and washing the dishes and making the beds, is not a problem with Malacha for an Avel. Basically, when they asked Malacha for an Avel, they mattered keeping a house, just because not everyone has someone else to keep the house for him. Nowadays, we try to be Machmer on this, just out of niceness to the Avel, and someone else does all the housework, some other relative or friend does all the housework, but al pi halacha, the Avel could do basic housework. Likewise, a woman can bake and cook while she's in Avelos, whatever she needs, which the post-consume means like her immediate family who lives in her house. Right, so she can cook. Nowadays we're more machmer than the halacha, because I guess in modern life, there's enough people around that there's always someone else who takes care of the chores in the house. But theoretically, the Avel could do the house chores, and the wife could even cook, not cook unlimited. This is a big machlokas achronim. There's some more makeup. But the Rav says not to cook as much as she wants, like for the whole world, but to cook for her house.
Is there a more machmer? We just have people who do a lot of chesed.
I think it's just the way people do a lot of chesed.
If you don't have a community.
Right, it's not that we're knowing to be machmer. It's just that we like to do chesed. Correct. Yes. What do you mean they're doing chesed?
Yeah, if you're saying
it's great to do chesed.
No, it's in certain communities it becomes like the norm, then isn't it like...
Nah, everyone's always happy to do chesed in circumstances like this. I mean, they'd be happier if it wasn't a circumstance, but they're happy to be able to help.
Also, if a person, the man loses an Avel and his wife, can actually do the housework, or how does that work?
If a man is an Avel, you said?
Yeah.
His wife can definitely do housework. But even if the woman's an Avel, she can do the housework. Al pi halacha.
Right. So I'm saying, when Rebbe said that nowadays we have some other relative...
Oh, not everyone has a wife. You know, there's...
I got it from halacha.
No, the getter from halacha seems to be anything that that you would like have to... anything would be distracting. Turning on the lights, no one thinks is us, right? So it's not.
After,
what?
Even those pattern after home away, even there, just have their parts.
I guess here also, like to go be a lamplighter, you wouldn't. Even though there's no heter of tzorech, but it's assumed that anything that has no doesn't distract you if it's necessary for the day, otherwise it would distract you as much. So yeah, not only housework, likewise anything very quick that wouldn't distract you. Big kula, once the head of housework, even a maid who's doing someone else's housework who's an avilus is allowed to, whether she's doing it for free or more common with maids, for pay, she's allowed to, because even though it's her parnas and she gets paid for it, they didn't ask her housework. Okay, like I said, nowadays we are more organized in terms of our chesed, so it's pretty rare that an avil will do housework, but al pi halacha, it would be perfectly mutter. The Taz points out here not to do housework, again, all within his own circle, not to like go and do extra housework for someone you don't normally do housework for, and even the maid, not to like go out on errands, etc., but basic housework for people you always do housework for, even if they're not related to you, would be mutter. The Ramah continues, Chav Gimel, Holich Makam Lakam Leschor, the Shama Shmua Krova. Someone who's traveling on business and hears Shmua Krova. Right, meaning he hears within 30 days that his relative died, and now he has to sit shiva. Now, of course, nowadays, he can just get on a plane and sit shiva. But in those days, it wasn't plush. You're traveling for business. You couldn't just get on a plane and go home, mostly because there were no planes. If you're traveling for business, let's say you're on a two-month trip. You still have to do your two-month trip. There's no way to get home early. You have to stick with your caravan. You couldn't just like walk through a desert or swim through an ocean. So you still have to stick with your caravan, and you're in this very awkward situation where, like, the person's sitting shiva, but he's with a caravan of businessmen. He can't even sit in one place. Like, you can't just be left in a strange country. You have to stick with your caravan. So, if you cannot do business in the city you are, that's best. But what if you have to do business? What? The guy came, and he needs provisions. He needs food for the way home, because they're going to be traveling in the desert or something, and not have food. So then, he can do business to get food for the way home, because he has no choice in the matter. Therefore, he can buy things that she needs to live for the way. Basically, he can do minimal what's necessary just to make it to the end of his trip. Okay, not so shaykh nowadays. The Gemara says something very clear. On other relatives, if someone wants to, they can minimize business. Or if they don't want to, they don't have to. On their parents, they have to minimize business. The Kasha, the Rishonim asks, what do you mean minimize business? Business is usher during Shiva. What do you mean minimize, optional, but for your parents, you should do it, it's proper? You're not allowed to do business. And basically, there are two main pshatim. Okay, Rashi, we're not exactly sure what he meant. The two main pshatim that are accepted by the poskim are, number one, what the mechaber paskins, right? The mechaber paskins, like the Tosos, right? That, yeah. The mechaber paskins like, okay, it's a yeshiva farshim, and but it's really Tosos. The Mukiyosu quotes yeshiva farshim. It's really Tosos. The mechaber paskins like a Tosos. Tosos says, what is this optional thing? It must be dover oven. Dover oven is mutter, but still, it's optional if you want to show extra covet for your relative to even lose money and not do dover ha'aved. And for parents, you should minimize dover ha'aved. What does it mean minimize? It means like use your common sense. That is the accepted psak of that the Rebbe Chaver based on Tosos. However, there's another perish which the Beis Yosef is medayik in the Rambam. The Rambam says it must be during Shloshim, not Shiva. Because Shiva, it's also your business, must be in Shloshim. Other relatives, you want to cut back your business during Shloshim, you can, if not for parents. It's mutter to do business during Shloshim, but you should cut back, you should minimize. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that it would be proper to be machmer like the Rambam as well, which means that for parents, not only should one try to even minimize relying on Dover Havi during Shiva, it's good to cut back the business during Shloshim. Don't do extra business during Shloshim for parents, just to extend the morning. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan likes being machmer like the Rambam.
Do people try to do that? I mean, I feel like a month is a long time.
No, but it means to do less. It doesn't mean to not do business. It means to try and cut back. You know, a lot of times people cut back on business. Sometimes someone's having a hard time in their life. They cut back. They're having a midlife crisis. They cut back on business. Chas v'shalom, the kid is sick. They cut back on business. So therefore, you don't have to. It's not the mechaber. Mechaber says to minimize. And what is minimized over Havit? It doesn't mean lose all your money. It means to try and use your judgment to not take advantage of Dover Havit so much. So, okay, it would be a good chumrah if someone's parent died within 30 days to not do business so much. You know, often in business, you can choose when you want to do. Sometimes you can't. You're an accountant, and April 15th is coming. You don't have much of a choice. And sometimes you can make a new venture, or you could delay the new venture. So therefore, it's something to think about the pshat of the Rambam. Chafei, I'll call Mason, Asar, Adlam, and Yom Leilach, Moskor, Lamar, Rochel. On all Mason, for 30 days, you're not allowed to go on a business trip. What's wrong with a business trip? Deika, Pirsum, Gadol, Doma, Lesimcha, Sholok, Moshe, Gadolos, Mechem, Harbe, Bederech. What was the Gemara says, on for all relatives in 30 days, right? Don't go on a business trip. But for parents, more than 30 days, it's like haircuts, actually yigur b'chaver, until your friends yell at you and say you have to come on this trip. What's so bad about a business trip? Meaning, schor is not usher in 30 days, certainly not more than 30 days. So therefore we say, what's so bad about a business trip? It's because on a business trip, if you look at the description, it's like what we call a cruise, right? What's a cruise? A cruise is just vacation, right? Someone's allowed to go on vacation during Shloshim. What do you mean? They want to stay home from work and relax. They're allowed to during Shloshim. They want to go away to a hotel and sleep in a hotel. They're allowed to go on vacation during Shloshim. But you're not allowed to go on a cruise during Shloshim because a cruise is one big party. And in those days, business trips were a cruise. It's not like nowadays. What does a business trip mean? It means they're very lonely. Business trips are lonely nowadays, right? You take a plane and you land in a strange place. You sleep in a hotel room by yourself, and it's very lonely and a little depressing. But this is talking about not what we call a business trip. I think a business trip is fine. This is more like a convention. A business convention, business convention. You go to a nice hotel, and there's a golf course and a swimming pool. And, okay, so we only go to the golf course, not the swimming pool, the Seder. And they have, like, big meals, and it's a lot of fun, and you meet people, and you hang out, like, a vacation, or, you know, in their days, every business trip was like that. Why? Because you couldn't go on a business trip by yourself. What do you mean? You go by yourself to a foreign country, you'll get killed, right? You have to go with a big chevra. And the chevra spent a lot of time together, because there's no planes chick-chock. You have to go, anyone? No, you go with the chevra. You spend a few weeks traveling through the desert, it becomes camp. So therefore, he says here, you can't go to, again, I think a business trip nowadays is fine. That's not what he's talking about. But here it means a convention or a cruise or sometime when you go with a lot of people and it becomes a very fun atmosphere. And that's what he says. There's Pirsum Gadol, Domla Simcha, Shokh Yergol, Smechem Harbe Bederek. They have a good time on the road. It's a big party. I mean, it's natural. Whenever you spend a lot of time with people and you have shared interests, then, you know, then it ends up being, I mean, a party like a disco. I mean, it ends up being just a very fun social, big, here's some fun social experience, which is inappropriate, and therefore one should not go to conventions and cruises and things like that for Olaf Shloshim. And for parents, until Yigaru Bo Chaveirav, until you get yelled at and said, no, you really have to go, it's enough, you need to go, you can't stay home. Okay. And that is, but I would not offer business trips, what we call business trips. That's not what he's talking about. What we call business trips is not fun at all.
Can I just sort of say that Pearson does all together with the Simcha? Like, what just you need both things?
Yeah, because, like, to have a private Simcha, like, if I, you know, someone goes out with their wife and just has a very nice time, or someone plays with their kids and has a very nice time, that's not a search for 30 days, right? So it's only a big Simcha. It's only a big party.
Pearson got all the understanding of the nature of the Simcha?
I'm understanding that.
Unless there's someone advertises, I'm going out to dinner with my wife.
Yeah, no, I think the Pearson Gadol here is, you're right, Pearson Gadol is also a little bit of the reputation, but I think the Iker here is the Simcha. Now, what if they went secretly on a cruise? I don't know. You know, but I think the Iker is the big Simcha. Okay, Shin Pei Aleph. So much for Malacha. Shin Pei Aleph. Isser Rechitz V'sichel Avel. Like I mentioned, each Simon is going to be like another thing that's Usser for an Avel. Rechitz Keita. What's the Isser Rechitz V'Avel? Usser Lechitz Kol Gufa Filu B'Tobi. You can't wash his whole body even in cold water. But his hands and feet and face, then it's usher in hot water, but mutter in cold water, so it's very restrictive. The only hatter is to wash your hands and face in cold water. But this is all stam for what we call tanya, just to feel fresh. But if someone fell into a pit of mud, and they were all full of dirt, then they can wash however they need to, and that's not a problem, because that's not for tanya, that is to remove the dirt. Okay, this is well, let's come back to it. Maybe we will skip a little, if I can just go a little bit out of order. If I can go a little bit out of order, in Sif Gimel, we see that likewise, washing, we see if someone fell into a pile of mud, meaning they have like a lot of actual substantive dirt, it's mutter. And likewise, someone who needs it for health reasons. It's mutter. If a woman just gave birth, and she needs to, after she gave birth, she needs to bathe, then it is mutter. Someone who has lice and needs to wash his hair, can wash his hair. The chamin and hot water, gormi istinis, because they're no worse than an istinis. An istinis is a delicate person. Right? We know this from the Mishnah, that Rav Gamliel was an istinis and bathed even when he was in Shiva. So someone who's delicate can bathe during Shiva. But everyone can't just stam say I'm an istinis and subjectively matur the whole world. It has to be known they're an istinis, whom it's not even a kios, and they are very finicky. They're always very very clean, meaning they're very finicky. And if this person doesn't bathe, he'll be in a lot of pain. And he will come to not feeling well. Okay, this is the big issue. Nowadays, clearly our lifestyles in terms of bathing are very different than the time of Chazal. You know, what they consider to be someone who bathes all the time is what we consider to be someone who never bathes. So the whole question nowadays, what about modern day people, if they're sitting Shiva, are we an istinis nowadays or not? So a lot of people say nowadays we're all an istinis, because if we have to go 7 days without bathing, then we'd all be, skin would be crawling on us, and we'd feel mechush, we wouldn't feel well, we wouldn't be able to handle it. It doesn't mean we get sick, it doesn't say choli. Just means, like, we wouldn't be, you know, it would feel bad for us. And therefore, Lamaisa, some modern day poskim say, now it's not so clear, maybe, depending on the circumstance, someone can go 7 days without bathing. So, it's not 100% clear. I think that some people are machmir not to use a kul of istinis nowadays unless someone actually has something unique about them, but not to say we're all istinis. Some people say we're all istinises nowadays. Halacha l'maisa, you know, it's good to be as machmir as possible in this, you know, and try to push the envelope in terms of keeping the isser v'chitza and trying to avoid having to compromise if someone can handle it. But if, you know, someone just won't feel fresh, etc., then they should be machmir. If someone mamish, like they will feel like this, then they're an istinis, and it is mutter for them to shower during Shiva, and to, you know, it depends on the circumstance. There's a myth that a lot of people think nowadays that is not true. People think that the avel can bathe for Shabbos. Everyone thinks this now. When I say everyone, I don't mean like poskim. I mean, a lot of people think this nowadays, and I understand why they think this, because a lot of things are mutter for Shabbos. But that's actually not true. we consider bathing a dovah shevet sinna, not a dovah shevet far hesya. There's no heter to shower for Shabbos any more than any other day during Shiva. That's a myth. However, it might be true, there might be some way to make the myth true. If someone is an istinus and they need to shower, you know, once or, you know, every 3 days or whatever, and Shabbos happens to be around then you can say there's heter istinus and they should shower before Shabbos. So, you know, it could be true, not for the reason people think. People think it's just stam heter of Shabbos. That's not true. Shabbos takes away veils for hesya. It doesn't take away veils for tzinna. Bathing is tzinna. So there's Shabbos not matter at all. But if someone has the heter istinus anyway, say they can't go 7 days without a shower. They need to take one shower in the middle of Shiva. And Shabbos happens to be in the middle of Shiva. Then, if they need to take one shower, they should obviously take it before Shabbos if they have to do it anyway. So, if there's a heter of istinus, then do it before Shabbos. But Shabbos itself is not a heter. That is a myth.
What about during like the 9 days?
So, during the 9 days, the, you know, is much, during the 9 days, again, everyone has different menhagim, depends what community you're in, but lemaisa, I think one could be much more makel in the 9 days than during avelus for the simple reason that a rechitza during avelus is a din. That's a din of the Gemara, that's usher. Rechitza during the 9 days is a later minhag. So we're always...
How does that interact with, is that different?
Oh, no. So during the 9 days, that's different, since that's only a minhag, so there's actually an official heter. Sorry, that I didn't understand you meant Shabbos. During the 9 days, an official heter for Shabbos. It was a big machlokas in the old days. There's an official heter for Shabbos during the 9 days, but that's different. The 9 days is very different from Avelos. Okay, now let's go back to the Sif Aleph. Says the Ramah, V'chol ze midina. Ainu asur rak shiva. Medina, bathing is only asur for 7 days. Alacharkach wants a rechitza. There's no asur bathing for shloshim. For shloshim, the only isurim, everyone always says there's two isurim. In many halachic sources, it says two isurim. There's gihutz and tisporis, haircutting and let's call it ironing and clothing. In fact, we'll see there's a few more. We already saw that going on a business convention or a cruise is asur for 30 days, and we'll see later on makeup. In the rare cases when the Isser applies, is usher for 30 days. But, sorry. But rechitza is only usher for Shiva. El shenagu ha'idna leser ko rechitza kalamid yom. But nowadays, the minhag, meaning among Ashkenazim, Sfaradim don't have this at all. Sfaradim never heard this. Tell a Sfaradi that there's an Isser rechitza for more than 7 days. I'll say, what are you talking about? You're against the halacha. But there's a minhag Ashkenaz to ask a rechitza for all 30 days. Even just washing your hair without your body. And you shouldn't deviate from the minhag because it's an ancient minhag. And it's yasid al-pibatik, and it was made by big people. Okay, so the Ramah has strong words for upholding this minhag. Ashkenaz, to refrain from bathing for 30 days. So there's a few questions that come up regarding this minhag Ashkenaz. First question is, why did they have this minhag? So here it is very unclear. If you look in the Pesukei Tshuvos of Ketan Beis, he tries to come up with... I think it's in Sukkot and Beis. Theories as to why this is usher. Really, if you look in the Taz, he brings down the theories. He brings down one theory for the Ozeruah. The isser of bathing for 30 days is because if you bathe, you might comb your hair. Combing your hair is like a haircut because it pulls out hairs. Okay, he says we don't actually paskin that combing your hair is usher. So the Marashal gave a second Hesber. Says, zero to haircuts, because in those days, when they went to the bath, they would also get a haircut. Even nowadays, people like they shower and they shave. Okay, we can even apply that nowadays. So it's zero to shaving. Okay, both those answers are a little weak. And then Pesukei Tshuva brings out maybe some nafkaminas, discusses the Tazim, so Tshuva discusses nafkaminas between those answers. Lamaisa, those answers are weak. It could just be stam, it's a minute, we might run a velos, maybe it doesn't have to be zero to something. So we're not sure what the reason is. Minigatu combing your hair weak, minigatu haircuts is better than combing your hair, but also a little weak. Maybe just stam. Apparently Marshall didn't like the idea that it was just stam. Why should you stam a new minhagim? So it's mysterious. We don't have a great explanation of why this minig is, but Lamai says that's minig Ashkenaz. The big debate here is, what's Asher al-Pi minig Ashkenaz? The Lashon HaRama is Lesser Kol Rechitza Kol Lamed Yom. All Rechitza. However, says the Shach, says, no, that only means hot, not cold. So then there's a big debate within what the Ramah meant, and even within what the Shach meant, As to what's the big debate, let's just have the four cases. Here we have kol gufo, chamin, tzonen, panav, yadav, viraglov, chamin, tzonen. For Shiva, it's very clear. It's mefurish in the Gemara. For Shiva, everyone knows what the halacha is. Aser, 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 mutter. For shloshim, for Sfargan, everyone also knows what the halacha is. Mutter, 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 mutter. There's no such thing as an Isra Chitz or shloshim. How about shloshim for Ashkenazim? What did the Ramah mean? And what did even the Shach mean? Clearly, this is mutter. Clearly, this is usher. The question is, what are the Shach saying? Tzonen is mutter. Did he mean tzonen is mutter, all tzonen is mutter, even your whole body? And therefore, shloshim is more mekel than shiva? Or did he just mean shloshim is tzonen is mutter, pari yadav viraglov, and shloshim is the same as shiva? Clearly, pshat in the Ramah sounds like all of Rishitza is just as bad as shiva. Pshat in the Shach sounds like all tzonen is mutter. So this is a big machlokas. Aser is clearly pshat in the Ramah. Mutter is clearly pshat in the Shach. But we're not sure if the Ramah went what he sounded like in Pshuto. We're not sure if the Shach went what he sounded like in Pshuto. Just to add up a few shitas here, at least the ones on the page.
Why don't we have to assume that the panav yadav viraglov b'chamin, according to the Shach, it might be, if we're mikel for kol gufo, for it's allowing its own name, maybe we're also, maybe that's all that the Ramah was talking about, according to the Shach.
That's a good ha'ara. Interesting question. The Elio Rava, I don't have an Elio Rava here to see exactly what he says, because he interprets the Shach in more make away. It's not impossible. I guess it's not impossible. I wonder.
Is your hair included in panav?
No.
So then also, according to the reason of the Pesei Tshuva, should allow?
Let's see. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a good question. Anyway, let's just stick with this for now, for a second. Who is machmer in this? The Dogon Mervava is machmer in this. The Rabbi Akiva Eger is machmer in this. Dogon Mervava, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Elio Rabba is Mako. He's quoted in Rabbi Akiva Eger on this. Okay, there are many other poskim as well. Lemaisa, the Badei Shulchan says that we're meikel on this. Okay, a lot of Bamani poskim are not machria, but Badei Shulchan says that we are meikel on this. And that, no, cold water is usher, the Gzeir of Shloshim is only hot water. Question is, how seriously to take this Gzeir of Shloshim? The Rav once mentioned in a different context that obviously we don't have this minhag anymore. I know the Ramah said there's al piva sikin and the shanas, etc. The Rav thought it was pashut that we're not nohig this way anymore.
I've seen, though, many of the modern-day Svarim do bring down, even the ones that don't bring out all the old-fashioned Minhagim, do bring down this Minhag. So, Lamaisa, there certainly ought to be some Mechan to say, maybe we're not knowing this anymore. I know definitely you go out in our world, no one thinks there's an Issur Mechitza for 30 days. Like, if you tell them this, they'll think you just, they'll be really surprised. Even people who know Torah, you know, who know a decent bit, will be very surprised if you tell them this. So Lamaisa, there's room to be Mako say that maybe that was the Minhag, and he took it seriously in his days, but it's not the Minhag in our days. However, the Rama did really like this Minhag, and a lot of modern days for him bring down the Minhag, so I'd say the preferred practice is to, you know, minimize Rechitza for 30 days. You know, unless it's necessary, not, doesn't have to be super duper necessary, like in Istanis Mamish, but, you know, like in the 9 days, to minimize only to, the, what's necessary. Someone wants to not be makbid at all, they can, but the more proper practice would be to minimize, showering to what's necessary. Minastam, even though in Sivkat and Aleph, he quotes it first, the Moshe says, poshrim, lukewarm water, is usher like hot water, in which case it's not an automatic heter, but there would definitely be an enemy. Okay, so that's as far as 30 days. We're not sure what the reason is. There are many, many other, there are many theories why, but none of them are terribly convincing. We're not sure what it was on. Was it only on hot water? Was it even on kol gufo b'tzone, just like during Shiva itself? And we're not sure if we keep it nowadays or not. And someone wants to be mako can be mako, but the more proper practice to keep it, but with a very expanded version of Istanis. Already in the Achronim we see on the side, the Gilim Arshas says in our Yontif, we're not machmer on this minute during Shloshim, and the Shiur Bracha says someone doesn't feel so well, we're not machmer on this minute during Shloshim, over here. So the Maisa, the more proper practice to be machmer during Shloshim, to minimize showering, but not to be super machmer. Okay, base. That's as far as rechitza. Sicha ketzat. Also, lasuch v'yil kol shu. You're not allowed to anoint. We don't really do much anointing nowadays. Do we have anointing nowadays?
Deodorant.
So deodorant is an yeah. There's actually a big machlok about deodorant. Is it really sicha or is it just l'havir hazuama? Let's see a second. Sicha. Ketzat. Also, lasuch v'yil kol shu. You're not allowed to do any sicha mechavin the tanuk for the purpose of tanuk. But if it's to get rid of a bad smell, it's and for sure, if it's something for a food, someone has sores and has to smear on some sort of oil that makes it heal, is mutter. Okay, deodorant is a big machlokas in general, on Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, etc. Is deodorant considered lahavir azuama, or is deodorant usser? On the one hand, it's just to get rid of bad odors. You know, on the other hand, it's not that someone really has such a bad odor. Just makes them fresher. So, I mean, unless someone really would stink to high heaven, but most people wouldn't. So, it's a big machlokas. Well, nice. It seems that... let's see if we have a good hachra anywhere.
Also, cologne is different.
Right, I think that would for sure be us, sir, because, like, we don't smell so bad that we need cologne to mask our smell, do we?
I think it also just has a different perk. Like, cologne is to smell good, good, and deodorant is to...
Okay.
Like, Axe body, whatever,
yeah.
Versus...
Okay, so the mice, like, even deodorants, some deodorants might have smells, right? Some deodorants are also perfumes.
For instance, some are just for smell.
Right. So let's say you have an unscented deodorant. I think a lot of the...
They're all scented.
Are they?
They all have some scent, presumably. But there's ones that are specifically made for more scent and ones that are specifically...
Yeah, okay, let's say the poshut ones. I don't know, I think sometimes they sell one with fresh scent.
Yeah.
So, lahore, that's not much of a scent. right? Anyway, yeah, I think there's definitely room to be mako and abelos to say that's just lahavir azulma if someone, certainly if someone needs it or they feel they need it. Then there's room to make all. Dalit. Mi she takvuhu abeilav. Interestingly, there's another heter here in the Pisgei Tshuva Sukkot Gimel. It's worth pointing out. From the Chamudi Daniel, he says, that if someone was lice is allowed to do rechitza, they're also allowed to do kibas. So someone needs to wash them. Nowadays, you don't need to wash your clothing if you're lice, just you have different clothing. But you just change your clothing, okay? You have to change your clothing. But also, we don't have lice in our clothing nowadays. But he says, basically, like, for purposes of medical purposes, etc., then all of these things are mutter, right? I just, someone asked me the other day, someone needed to get a haircut because it hurt them to have long hair. They had whatever reason, it caused them pain to have long hair. So would it be mutter or not? Not to look nice. It was a woman, a married woman, who no one was seeing it anyway. It was covered anyway, just it, maybe because it was covered, it somehow, some people, different people have sensitivities to different things. So the chore that would be within this heter, that if it's necessary to avoid pain and not just for tanug, then the chamud meals assumption would be matter all the halachas of avelos, because all of them were really in order to avoid pain. However, in the end, based on something we'll see there, that there's such a thing as getting a bad haircut if you need to, if you have sar from your long hair. So I say it's not mutter to get a real haircut, but it's mutter to cut off a little. The dalit misha tachvu avela, but I've thought of this coming into the meal also. Misha tachvu avela she'ur shnei avela sefer. That what those go with someone. Someone has two avelas in a row. It's too hard to go without bathing. Can bathe his whole body in cold water, but not in hot water. That's a general rule. Someone has two avelas in a row. They were makel to do like a partial, whatever ma'aser you're not supposed to do during avelas. Although, hey, nidish is damas vant filosof me evla eino tovelas, right? A Nida whose bikvanite comes during Avelos does not tovel because she's usher and tashrish amita anyway. Therefore, there's no need to, and we paskin tefillah is not a lot of mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to tovel. It's only a mitzvah to be with her husband for tashmish, and she can't be for tashmish. Therefore, we're not matter bathing during Shiva. That's the Devar Pashat. For one's bikvanite is during Shiva, she believes it. And says Rama, for sure, she doesn't bathe in order Lilbosh Levanim, start wearing white, what we call Hefsek Tara. For sure, she doesn't bathe for a Hefsek Tara. Okay, what does this mean, for sure, she doesn't bathe for a Hefsek Tara? Let's go back to Avol Miyada Herzayin. But after Shiva, Afli Shinogu Isser Verchitza Kolam, and even though the Minig is the Asr Verchitza for 30 days, for Ashkenazim Mikolokim Viteris, she can bathe for doing a Hefsek Tara. Rak Shetashana Verchitza Ktas. Just she should change it a little, minimize it a little. And what does it mean to minimize it a little? It means only to wash the private parts of the body and not her whole body. Usually they took the whole bath before they did a Hefsatara. And keep in mind, in the days when they didn't bathe regularly, so a woman could have a lot of types of dirt all over her body. So to do a Hefsatara, she generally has to see if there's any blood. How can she see? She has stuff all over her body anyway, because everyone was dirty all the time. So she had to take a full bath. So he says here, okay, you don't take a full bath. Just wash, you know, between your legs and wherever the dam nida might fall, and that's enough. Cholik lavan tilbosh sudden lavan tatsiya shall tovli suffik and put on the white clothing so that she doesn't have any suffik about whether it's nikiyim or not. But during shiva, not to wash it all for hefsek tara. Here, it's not exactly clear what the Rama meant. Did he mean don't do a hefsek tara during shiva and just push off mikvanite extra, or did he mean do a hefsek tara but without any washing? Just do the best you can. So, most poskim assume that even our mud didn't mean to push off Hefsek Tara. Why push off Hefsek Tara? That means we get after Shiva, she won't be able to go to the mikvah, and there'll be bittul of mitzvah zona and for revu. And therefore, they assume that our mud just meant, the shas at chak like this, do a Hefsek Tara without washing. The Taz even writes, whoever pushes off their Hefsek Tara is min hamatmihim, is very peculiar, is inappropriate. Okay, so our mud shita was, again, we assume that he didn't mean to push off the Hefsek Tara, although we can't know for sure. He just meant to do a Hefsek Tara without washing at all. L'maisa, no one agrees with the Rama. If you look at the Shach here, he quotes the Masas Ben Yamin, and you look at the Taz here, no one agrees with the Rama. They all say that washing during Shiva is mutter if it's not for Tanug, just for some halachic reason. The proof is that there's a mandam in the Gemara that tefillah was on his mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to tovel. Then, it's not talking about Shiva, but it seems clear that they would permit you to tovel during Shiva. So it's mutter for halachic reason, and therefore they all pass him against the Rama that even during Shiva she should do a minimal washing and do a Hefsek Tara, only washing of the necessary places, and do a Hefsek Tara. And so we don't pass like this Rama at all. Sif Vav is really a new Oh, Agav, I should point out something that comes up as a tangent in Sif Hei before, excuse me, we move on. Yeah.
Should she be mafka for the aroma, meaning if she could get a clean hesed without washing?
No, but then the next time she'll find something dirty on it because there'll be blood left over and she'll come to a suffix. And then when she does her bidik on day one, she'll accidentally catch some blood that was on her body from 3 days ago and it'll mess her up. So no, she should wash as minimally. Wash the necessary parts of the body. The Taz here quotes at the end, a tangent for the Marshal, that the Maharam was a Sandik. Baal Bris is what we call Sandik. Within 30 days, and he washed in 30 days. Is the minig Ashkenaz not to wash in 30 days? Is the mutter for a yontif, and being a sandik, or the father of the baby, makes it like your yontif. He says that would not matter something which is asar al pi din. But since it's only a minhag, that is matter the minhag. That's the Gilim Rashal. The slide points out wouldn't be matter a din. He couldn't get a haircut. But the yontif of being a sandik is matir, is enough, a yontif for the purpose of minhag, and enough to matir rechitza. Okay, but a new iser, which is makeup. Isha lo tichov lo tefar case bimei ave. Well, these are kinds of makeup, eye makeup, and some sort of red you put on your cheeks. A woman cannot do makeup, which we'll call tachshitin. Tachshitin in Shas sometimes means what it means nowadays, is jewelry. But I think, I didn't count, but I think more often it means makeup. It means makeup or jewelry. I think it more often means makeup than jewelry, even though nowadays, we in modern Hebrew, we use tachshit to mean jewelry. In Shas, it usually means makeup. So a woman can't do makeup during her avelos. So all these are also like washing. Now here, it gets a little tricky, because then he continues, Aisha says, what about a married woman? There's a big chash married woman, she'll this gone al baila. We don't want her to look ugly for her husband, and in fact, the shalom bias. Right, we're very realistic, even though you'll say, okay, who cares, she used makeup. It shouldn't affect the shalom bias, you know, his love should be deeper than that. Okay, but realistically, it's always good to be on the safe side with these things. So, the Aisha says, in a soul talk shiva, and Aisha says, a married woman is only also for shiva, akhazayim uteris bakol, but after shiva, she's mutter and everything. Kadeshul is going to bite us so she won't look ugly to her husband. Now, from here, we have a diuk, right? It's not just our diuk. The Shach makes this diuk that the machaber here is confusing. First, he says it's also like washing. Remember, for Sfardim, washing is only 7 days. Then he says, Anishis Ishis mutter after Shiva. What's the implication? A different woman is also for all 30 days. So we talk a paskin that makeup is also for 30 days. But for a married woman, it's only us for 7 days. Kalosh ira evel tok shloshim yom, a newly married bride who had a velos within 30 days of her marriage. Luchupasa muteres l'shkata evel tok shiva. She's muteres even tok shiva. She was just newly married. She has to look extra pretty for her shalom bias. Bogeres ira evel, a bogeres, which is a 12.5-year-old girl, which is already in shiduchim at that time. Here it's machlokes in the poskim. Some of the very very right wing sfarim say. Even nowadays, it's mutter at 12 and a half, because if Chazal said 12 and a half, it's 12 and a half. What right do we have to change what Chazal said? But the Pashup Shad and a lot of our Achronim say, no, you have to be reasonable. Chazal now meant a girl of marriageable age. Nowadays, when you're 12 and a half, you're not a marriageable age. Usually, you wouldn't want your 12 and a half year-old daughter putting on makeup in the first place, because she's not a marriageable age. So now, this means a woman of marriageable age. Simple shot. A woman of marriageable age, Mutera is Kevin Shabbatishly Nase, since she has to get married, she's in Shiduchim. Muteres Bekichul Pirkus, she is Muteres in makeup. Now, when? Let's see. Avalasura Berchitas Chamin Kogufa. But is not allowed to wash her body in hot water. Okay, remember, Shardim, when is she not allowed to wash in hot water? During Shiva. In which case, the diyuk is when is she mutter in makeup during Shiva? Meaning, a marriageable girl is more makeup even than a married woman. Because she has to find a husband. And therefore, she is muteris to use makeup even during Shiva. Okay, it's not so clear what we mean she's not allowed to wash her whole body in hot water. Because after all, she's not allowed to wash even her hands in hot water. Or her whole body in cold water. So you might have been medayk for ah, she has a heter to wash her whole body in cold water or her hands in hot water. Because she has a marriageable age, but that's not what the post can assume, even though it could have been a theory. The Chasam Sofer says you have to emend the Ramah, it's quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, say she's not allowed to wash her whole body at all, or any part of her body in hot water.
But why is there a chiluk between makeup and washing?
Because washing, you can't. You look at someone, you can't tell if they wash their whole body or not, but makeup, you see on their face.
I don't know, I would argue that the mitzvah is that for someone to look good nowadays, you don't need makeup, but you need to wash up. And,
so they wash their face in the cold water, just say it.
Okay, they wash your hair, like, I don't know. Makeup is not, I think washing is more important to look good than makeup.
You mean your hair, maybe? I don't know. Hard for us to relate to it, since we don't have long hair. What?
I do.
Okay. But you don't flaunt it. That's different. If you curl it up, then it doesn't have to look nice. I hear the taina. I don't know. Like, I could have seen differently, but that's what some sofer says, and I think that's I think the mice of the post consume like some sofer. But I definitely use the mashu makeup. Like, you definitely, I guess. Depends on, so everyone's hair is different. Some people's hair, I guess, I don't know, I'm not a bucky in girl's hair. I don't know if it's as obvious as makeup.
Some scholars, doctors, they don't wash their hair.
Whatever, what do I know from these things? Okay. Nara, Avela, Asura, Filuhilu, Pericos. So who's the only one left who's Asura in makeup for 30 days, right? So in makeup, what do you have? Ashes Ish, right? Shiva, Shloshim. Is Asur and Shlosh, is Shiva, Muteris, and Shloshim. A new bride is Muteris in both. A Bogeres is also Muteris in both for a diet. So who's Asur for 30 days? So the answer is only a Nara, a girl too young to get married. Right, Nara, Vila, Asura, Filo, Bekicho, Pirkos. For 30 days. So, Lemaisa, I don't know what the minig is nowadays. Probably different in every community. But, you know, where I live, I think the girls who are not in marriageable age usually don't put on makeup anyway. Although, probably everyone does different things. Okay, so even if in your community the 16-year-old girls put on makeup, so if Chasr Shalom, they're novel, they shouldn't for 30 days.
Isn't it just such a weird way? He starts off by saying, like, Isha, and then basically all the way at the end gets that to Nara, like...
Yes. No. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes.
And to double pleasure, that makeup that is not similar to the two kinds he mentions are also included in the dinner?
I assume so. I mean, it's hard to say double pleasure, but I assume so. I assume all makeup is the same.
And that older lady, is it, like, she still can't?
That's an interesting question. What about an older lady? It's actually the Achronim debate. What's the status of an older lady? So it might depend if she's looking for a shidduch or not. Pasha, so it would depend if she's looking for a shidduch or not. If she's not looking for a shidduch, then maybe it would be usher. Even though, you know, she's still a bogeris. But the pasha shot is that it would be usher. But okay, you know, she wants to find what to be somichan, she can. There's some to say adraba, that nalmana, or let's say, olayim z'malim grusha, even if they're in shidduchim, it's usher. Okay, but then the good compromise would be, depends if she's in shidduchim or not. But Lamaisa, there's, you know, two other opinions as well.
What if a husband is mofel on her makeup?
I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't trust husbands. You have to be very careful between spouses. Trusting the chila gets very, very tricky. It's like there's all different levels of how sincerely people mean things. So I don't know. I don't mean to sound whatever, but otherwise the husband says, I'm all calling makeup, okay, but maybe he really does care, and he's just, you know, doesn't want to seem shallow. So he's intimidated. He's embarrassed to say he cares. Maybe he really does care. Maybe he doesn't think he cares, but he really cares. So, okay, I would stick with Chazal. The timeless wisdom of Chazal. All right, can't go wrong. Interesting, the Chacham Sofer says, how about for Ashkenazim, a married woman bathing within 30 days? After all, Ashlut is gone al Baila. So he says, if there's any Tzorah, in those days, like, what was the big deal? So you didn't bathe for 30 days, why would the husband care? You know, it's not such a big deal. But nowadays, the Poskim write, okay, if the woman thinks that it'll be unpleasant for her husband, then then there's a heter for her after Shiva, so she can be Makel even if she's Ashkenazic. Not to mention the fact that we, you know, what we said before is that even though it's more proper to keep the minig, we can be pretty Makel to not you know, to shower sometimes.
When they give those clothes, they mean like hot water?
Pashtus means, you know, Pashtus, yeah, or, you know, as, maybe you have if you need, but I know a lot of people nowadays, it's very, they don't know how to shower cold water, what can you do, at least warm.
It's not like one of those where we say the nowadays, like in camp, where they describe, like, try not to have it too hot type of thing.
Nah, I think it would be, I would say try not to have it too hot. Yeah, yes, just like the 9 days. Okay, Victor. Shin pei beis. Avil aser ne'ilas ha-sandal avil. Avil aser ne'ilas ha-sandal. Davka shel or. The word darshan that a sandal only counts as made of leather. V'val pelu shel beged. And pelu means a sock, but a cloth sock, a sock made of fabric. Socks are no problem. O shel gemi, if it's made of reeds. O shel seyar, or it's made of hair. O shel eitz, it's made of wood. Mutter, she'ein mil el shel or. It only counts as a shoe if it's leather. O shel eitz, mechuba or aser. But if it is wood, which is coated by leather, that's also aser. We assume if any part of the shoe is leather, whether the top or the sole or the uppers or whatever you call them, that's aser. This is a big machlokas, as you know, from Hilchas Yom Kippur and Hilchas Tisha B'Av. And the side here, there's a base Hillel on the side here, who says, also bin los sandal, kosav habach, in Hilchas Yom Kippur, v'chim isim rebosh shalom Yom Kippur, yachif legamri. The Bach says, my Rebbeim didn't wear any shoes in Yom Kippur. They didn't have these, like, Converse canvas sneakers and all these other Crocs and other things. They mamish did what they did in the old days. They walked barefoot in Yom Kippur. Mukvar kasavti v'tzorch leilich yochel v'gamrei mishinugim Yom Kippur tzorch leilich velos kein pasu bachelos tishabav etc. Okay, the bach is very machmer. Someone is the schumer should be machmer Yom Kippur, should be machmer avelos, should be machmer on tishabav. So there are those who are machmer not to wear even non leather shoes. Especially nowadays, the sport being we have non-leather shoes that are just as comfortable as leather shoes, unlike in the old days, like if you shoes out of reeds, how good could those be? Or out of hair. I don't know what those were like. Nowadays, you make perfectly good shoes out of artificial materials, out of various types of plastic, usually. But the mice say that's not the minig. The minig is, even on Yom Kippur, and certainly on Tisha B'Av, and certainly on Avelos, to be makel, and therefore the minig nowadays, the Avelon can wear non-leather shoes. Base. A woman who just gave birth can wear shoes for 30 days after giving birth because she's considered a little sick and it's hard if her feet get cold. She might catch a cold and that might be bad for her because she just had a baby and she's weak. So she can wear shoes for 30 days. The Shach, here says very logically in Sivkatan Beis, in Sivkatan Aleph, that likewise, someone who's sick in these shoes, or someone who has a foot injury in these shoes, can be mako. Lemaisa nowadays, you know, our kula becomes our chumra. Now that everyone has non-leather shoes that can suffice for the chaya and the chol and mishesh lamaka, so therefore you shouldn't be mako nowadays because you can just wear non-leather shoes and it'll have just as good an effect. Gimel kol adam mutalino mukshish shikas akrav. Anyone's allowed to wear shoes if you're afraid they're scorpions, they might bite you, and obviously they're very dangerous. Then it is mutter. Okay, usually it doesn't come up nowadays. I guess if all of a sudden you got invaded by scorpions, then tell the avail to put on shoes. Again, if they have non leather shoes, tell them to put on non leather shoes if those are available, which they generally are. Yes?
Is there room for being mako? Because, by the chayah.
There could be, yeah, I mean, come down to the similar question, but Lemaisa, I saw in one of the Manadri Surin, let's see if I wrote down, where I, yeah, so I saw in this Sefer, but he doesn't say this relatively new Sefer published by Koran. Helps Avelos, who says the svara that if possible you should not wear non-leather shoes because they have them available, but he doesn't quote what his mukkar is. But it's definitely it's the same question. You know, do you say it's set in stone or you take the idea? You say no. It's a matter of whether there's a tzorach or not. same as the last issue we had. The Taz here has an interesting kumra. He says, whenever someone has to wear shoes because of some tzorech, they should at least put dirt in their shoes to make it a little uncomfortable, because even if they're tzorech, it shouldn't be too comfortable. And that's brought down by the poskim. Someone has to wear shoes because of sakana or something else or something like that. Not obviously if someone has a foot injury and that they put a lot of dirt in their shoe, it'll make it worse. But I'm saying someone, because the akravim or something like that, or the goyim or whatever, has to wear shoes, then they should put like dirt in it. I assume he means not just a few specks of dirt, but like, you know, something like a little, not like some big pebble that'll make you lean, but something that like you feel with your feet, make you a little uncomfortable, and not cause any damage. That's what he means. And that's what someone should do if they're in such a situation, which again, is not so common nowadays. Now, avol menuda shei mahafla derech, because a menuda is most of the same serve as an avol, some is a nidui, which is like what we call cherim, who were walking on the road, mitar b'nilas ha-sandal. How can you go on the road barefoot? You'll just cut your feet into smithereens. Their roads were, their roads were not like our sidewalks. Their roads were like, you know, the dirt paths near Yerushalayim, which are all full of stones, etc. So you can't walk there barefoot. You'll get very hurt. So therefore, they're much to wear their shoes. And when they get to the city, and the city has like paved nice streets, then they take them off. Some people say if it's a Goyish city, you don't take off your shoes until you get to the Jewish ghetto. Why? Because they talk about here a little later, Rishos HaGoyim, they talk about. You know, this depends on the circumstances. We pass like these Yeshiva Shomer, but it depends on the circumstances, it depends on who the Goyim are. Apparently they were Goyim. If they saw the Jews do something weird, they would start making fun of the Jews, and if they start making fun of the Jews, then it could very easily turn into sakana. Because once they make fun of the Jews, they throw a few stones at the Jews, and then, you know, it could get dangerous. So therefore, you know, if the Goyim are if it's going to lead to, I don't mean anti-Semitism, like we hate the Jews, they weren't barefoot, but they were looking for something to criticize about the Jews, and then things could, it could get to a situation of sakana. So then, you keep your shoes on to protect yourself from the goyim laughing at you. Apparently it's a big thing, the goyim should laugh at us. See a few times, and again, I don't know what's so bad about the goyim laughing at us. Let the goyim laugh if they want, we'll have the last laugh. But apparently, in the old days, when the goyim laughed at you, you know, it could end up being bad for the Jews. Okay, how about nowadays? Depends where you are. You know, if you're, in places where they kill Jews all the time anyway, then it's always be careful not to give them any excuse to start noticing that the Jews are being weird. But if you're someplace where they're goyim, but they're very tolerant and liberal and open-minded, then there's no room to be making.
There was a video that went viral this week of some goyim filming a Hasidish boy and laughing at him.
Right. Okay. So, and again, depending on where that is, that could just be one weird guy, or that could be that Hasidish boy could have gotten in trouble there, depending on, you know, where it was. If it's in Williamsburg, so it's probably depends what street in Williamsburg also. You know, there are streets in Williamsburg where sometimes Jews do get beaten up, even nowadays. Okay, so therefore, you have to be careful with the goyim, even nowadays in some places, in those days everywhere. Do you have to take your shoes off immediately after the kfura was mentioned, discussed earlier in Shin Ayin Hey? What is the issue? On the one hand, once their shtimas hagola, the avela starts. So of course the avela has to take his shoes off. On the other hand, the cemetery is on the derech. Cemetery is not next door to your house. The cemetery is outside the city, and there's a derech. And how's he going to walk on the derech? On the derech, he's allowed to wear shoes. So what do we do about that? So that was discussed earlier in Shinayin Hey, and what made this questionable, because there's some Gemara, we mentioned this Gemara earlier, that says, for all other relatives, if you want your cholets, if you want your not cholets. For parents, you have to be cholets. What is cholets? There are two pshatim. We only saw one. But one pshat is, and the one pshat is, sorry, the pshat of the Maharam, quoting Yeshua Farshim, Yitzhak Rav Yehuda, says that we're just taking off shoes. What does that mean? On all relatives, you choose whether to take off your shoes? Neil Sassanos Osmanov. No, it means to the cemetery and back. All of the relatives, you can wear shoes to the cemetery and back or not. For parents, you have to take off your shoes on the way back from the cemetery. That's what the Ramah quotes. Yishom Sarch Leil Yachay Besak First, Obeso, Mace Avvo Imo, Velor Isno and King. Some people say You have to walk barefoot to the cemetery, back and forth for parents, and we don't have that minute. The Shastras run on that minute because the Goyim will laugh at us and then we'll have trouble. Rishas HaGoyim says the Shach here in Sifkat and Gimel, and the Gra in Sifkat and Gimel also. But we assume that nonetheless we are not Noeg like this Ramah. We assume that, no, the cholitz means what we call chalitzas kasef. Remember that do the kriya and then take it off your shoulder, which is nothing that anyone does nowadays, but a mourning practice in the old days. So we assume that even though our guardians don't laugh at us, we don't go yachek misakvaros. Oh, sorry. We don't go back and forth to the cemetery. However, our minhag nowadays is, if you would go back to Siman Shinayin Hay, it's said in Shinayin Hay that the minhag nowadays is at the beginning. Noagin lachlots minhag achar stimas agol miyad. The minhag nowadays is that there's no difference between parents and anyone else. Take off your shoes right away at the cemetery. And that's nowadays the minhag. The avelim take off their shoes right away at the cemetery. Well, how do they go home? They go home in non-leather shoes, or they go home in a car. They don't walk on the derech on the way home. So our minhag nowadays is that we don't differentiate between parents and anyone else. Just we always go home. We go to the cemetery either way with shoes. The avelim go to the cemetery with shoes either way. They go home for the cemeteries without shoes or with non-leather shoes. Either way, that's the minhag nowadays. Unlike this, Ramah based on the Kobo Shemri, based on that one Shita, who says that that's the chalitza, which is different for parents. Nowadays, you don't differentiate.
Do we encourage avelim, they're not avelim yet, to go to the cemetery in leather shoes so they could do a chalitza after the stimus agolah?
No, I don't think we do. What if they need to like start the first day of Avelos? They can always sit on the floor. Yeah, there are other ways to start Avelos.
So in general, they show up in their Crocs or whatever.
So yeah, they can do whatever they want. I've seen it commonly that they show up in leather shoes and they take them off, and someone brings them Crocs just because, like, it's pashtus to go to the parents' funeral in Crocs, and also it's a pain to like walk to the cemetery in Crocs, etc. But they could wear non-leather shoes if they wanted to. Like some people now know the shoes that look like normal shoes. And I don't even think it's Marzayan nowadays, there's so many of them. So then they cut. Okay, so much for Ne'ilas HaSandal. Shin Pei Gimel Iser Tashmish HaMita Le'Avil. Avil Aser B'Tashmish HaMita. Now here, Avil is definitely Aser. Two things we know for sure. We know there's an Iser of Tashmish HaMita, and we know there's a Heter of, the Gemara says, that even during Avelos, there's a heter of, remember, the three malachos that are usher for Nida to do for her husband, of Mezigas HaKos, and Hatzvas HaMita, and Hachatzas Paniyadav Raglav, right, pouring a cup, and we're serving food, and washing, or helping him wash, and making his bed. Those are mutter. Question is, what about everything in between? Right, so like, all these, like, far-out Hachakos that we usher for Nida, we don't usher during Avelos. Because after all, Avelos is not as chomer as Nida. Nida is an Isser Karis. Avelos, we pass him, is only Durabanan. Tashmish is Aser. What about all the in-betweens? So, what do we say? Say here, there are three levels of... there are many different levels. Here is Tashmish. That is clearly Aser. Here is Meziga. I'll just write this. The Hatsa'ah. The Harchatza. Right? I'll write a little bit in short, it is definitely mutter. Then there are all these different madrigas. Like, what's next to Tashmish? How about Shena, Pekira, Basar? Right? Sleeping together without pajamas. That's closest to Tashmish. How about Shena? Right? What's the phrase they use here? Bivigdehan, right? Hu bivigdo. Meaning sleeping together. I don't mean that euphemistically. Literally sleeping in the same bed, but with pajamas. Right, that's obviously more mako. Then, how about chibur panishuk? Right, that's not as chomer as sleeping in bed, because sleeping in bed is actually the makom of tashmish, but it's clearly something which is easily leads to tashmish. And how about achila biyachad, right? Eating together, which maybe is a little more intimate than doing malachos. Okay, so all these things are somewhat controversial, yes? I don't think so. I mean, it could. I mean, theoretically, but anything could be. Misvara. But I don't think we'd say that, because yeah, there's times for Samita. Okay, so Lamaisa, there's a big machlokas about all of these things. For example, when it comes to sleeping together in the literal sense with clothing, there aren't so many opinions in the Beis Yosef, but let's see. Avalos v'tash mitav v'sharim v'arkor v'motar afilu zikas v'post v'atzas mitav v'achatz v'pani yadav v'raglav bein v'abeil z'day bein v'abeil z'day dot. Doesn't matter which one of them is an avel. Aval chibuk v'nisha yesh l'hachmer. This is a big machlokas about chibuk v'nisha. The Ramban was mater chibuk v'nisha, and the Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Ramban was mater, and Rabbeinu Yerucham was machmer here. So here the Ramban says mutter. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham says Aser. And Paskins the Ramah, well, Chibuk v'nisha yesh l'hachmer. What does that mean? That means for Sfardim, Chibuk v'nisha is totally mutter. Right? The Mechaber did not sort. Right? For Sfardim, is totally mutter. The Mechaber did not sort. However, for Ashkenazim, says the Ramah, Aval Chibuk v'nisha yesh l'hachmer. Okay, what does yesh l'hachmer mean? Yesh l'hachmer is a little funny lashon. He doesn't say like aser l'gamre l'gamre, but you know it's a little bit more than a tov l'hachmer. It's more than machmer tov l'bracha. Yesh l'hachmer. So it's a perhaps should be right. So this is the Ashkenazim yesh l'hachmer. This is a very sensitive one in modern day society. A lot of people have. Would have trouble being mekabel this. Okay, if they're Spartan, that's fine. They're good to go. Like most areas, follow. But except for one or two. But this is something which gets a little tricky nowadays. A lot of people would have a lot of trouble accepting this this restriction. Okay, so the modern posting this since the says yesh lahachmir. Therefore, whatever, if someone doesn't want to be machmir, then we don't fight with them. If someone's not going to, want to be machmir, then we don't tell them to be machmir. But clearly, someone should be machmir. However, for someone who, is not so super dedicated, and doesn't want to be machmir, so okay, maybe yesh lachmir means it's proper to be machmir, but if someone isn't machmir, then they're not an avarian. Okay, it's a bit of a stretch, but lamaisa, I think that you have to use your judgment in knowing your customer in this thing.
I was going to also say, just using your judgment in terms of, would you tell someone to use their judgment in terms of what context they're
No, I don't know. Not sure.
I was going to ask the same. I feel like there are different types of things, like hugging, like comforting hugging.
Right. There is. But, I don't know. Not sure. I'm not sure that I'm convinced. You're right that there are. The question of that's significant. So I'm not convinced. Anyway, Lamaisa, I know that, a lot of people would not want to be machmer on this. Okay, so you have to know who you're talking to. Whether you should tell them this Ramah or not. How about eating together b'kara? That was also a bit of a machlokas, right? The Hagos Ashiri was masopic about this, but the other poskim were makel about this, such as the Ravid and the Ramban, etc. So here. The Hagos Ashiri in the Beis Yosef was Masupak, the Ravid, and the Ramban, a assume that it's mutter, and we paskin for sure mutter, just because some of those sopa gain something else to be vadai, so eating together is mutter. Umutter lishin mahuba vigdal hivigdal. How about sleeping together with clothing? Is mutter, but mimishab lech lech aminun zira. There's a rule, lech lech aminun zira, score score the karma, there'll be 10. Go away, we tell the nazir, don't go near the vineyard. That sounds just like the normal idea of siyag. The point of lech lech amin lazira is even things that maybe we don't find a makar and an aser, but it's proper to be makar if it seems like it could lead to something wrong. So when it comes to sleeping together with pajamas, we say, like the ravid, this is what the ravid, we say, basically we say aser mishum lech lech v'chuli, that we should not do it. Or at the very least, us should not do it because of this principle of staying away from possible aveira, and obviously sleeping together in a bed, we understand how it could very easily lead to an aveira. Interestingly, the Rabbi Akiva Eger points out he could find a mucker for this chumrah, the Amar of Rabbi Yerucham, in Chibuk Benishuk from the Targum on Koheles. The Targum is Eis Lachabok, Eitler Chok Mechabek, time for hugging, time to stay away from hugging. The Targum says it's a time of Avelos, not the time to stay away from hugging. However, it's not such a strong raya for the Rama because we're not exactly sure how authoritative the Targum of Koheles is. The scholars even debate, and the Echronim also debate, meaning anything the scholars figured out, the Echronim figured out also. You know, that whatever, like the Echronim who knew everything, they could look at things and tell, you know, where they're coming from, that it's not even clear if the Targum and Koheles is necessarily from mainstream Orthodox Judaism. Maybe it's from some sectarians in the old days. So, okay, there's a lot to be masufik about the Targum on the Megillus. We're not going to get into that now. Agav, the Shach points out, as we've gotten Bays, that about beloved God, Osir Legamri, quotes from the Torah, the Ramban, etc. The Kirub Osir, that is Osir Legamri, that is Pashat Osir. Anytime there's an Isser of Tashmash, it's Pashat, there's an Osir to sleep together, bit Kirub Osir. Okay, Bays, maybe we will skip over just because it's referring to a simon that we skipped over. We'll move on to Shin Pei Dalet.
Dressing, like everything like that doesn't matter.
You mean stockless mechusim? You mean?
I mean, like, yeah,
because in mechumas megulim, even in nida is mutter, right? So what about his stockless in mechumas hamechusim?
Isn't that like weirdly missing?
That is an interesting question.
That is a. Interesting question. I don't know. Lanius Daiti, I would not aser until I had a raya to aser. Obviously, you know, using common sense. There's always room for common sense. I'm not saying not to use, people should not do things which make common sense, but I'm not going to aser.
Anything that
all the other Rakakos we assume are mutter. Correct. All the other Rakakos we assume are mutter. Absolutely. Okay, Shin Pei Dalet. However, aser with Talmud Torah. Yes. Then all the halachas of Nida apply. So then there's no nafkamina in any of this. I can see some of my a little bit of a svara, but
it's a more chamer isser.
Yeah, because Nida is a more chamer isser. Absolutely. Even though it's interesting, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch here, is it? Did any of those Kehillim bring down that it says that it was Misham Shuitasa during Avelos Chayat Misa, meaning B'day Shamayim?
It's in the Torah.
Well, it's in the Torah, right? It's right, I think, near the beginning, maybe. It's the very beginning of the Torah. I don't know if it's brought down in the notes of Kalim, but okay, that's not because they disagree. It's just because it's not necessarily a halacha l'maisa point. But it's taken as very chomer, but nonetheless, it's still an Isser Drabbanan. That's very different from Nida, which is an Isser Karis. Okay, Shin Pei Dalet Avel Aser B'Talmud Torah. Avel kol shiva yamim asur likros betorah nevim uksuva mishnah gemara halachas va'agadus. Basically, all kinds of learning Torah are asur for an avel. Why? As we know, because pikudish and mishar mesamchi lev, And Torah is considered simcha. Okay, when I used to teach in high school, not all my students agreed. Nonetheless, they were wrong. Really, Torah is simcha, and therefore an aval is aser be Talmud Torah. But here's an exception, Rabim Tzrichalom. Remember, we mentioned earlier, the Machlokes Rishonim, and Rabim Tzrichalom in a secular profession, is there heter for aval or not? And we said there isn't. But if Rabim Tzrichalom in Torah, because Torah is so important, then it's a dechia. The tzorich, the rabbin for Torah, is doche his isra velus. Therefore, in rabbin tzrichlo l'slamid mutter, will vajli yam a torgamon. As long as he doesn't appoint a torgamon. What is a torgamon? In the old days, they didn't have microphones and loudspeakers. So how would the rabbi give a drush in a big room? Not every rabbi had a booming voice, and some of them were old, etc. So he would whisper to a guy with a booming voice who would repeat it. It was like a microphone. So as long as you don't use a microphone. So what does he do? How does he give the drasha if the rabbin need him? He tells someone else. Someone else tells him the torgamon. And then that's like a little more indirect. So therefore, he's not participating as directly as he generally, as he usually does. And therefore, that's mutter. So in order to minimize, they said he should do it like a little bit b'shinoi, not participate as directly as he usually does. And here, this next ramah, these three words in the ramah are very controversial. The Rama definitely said, "Oh, Yidrosh ba'atmo." We're just not sure when he said it. Did he say, "Uvad shelo yamid torgamon, oh Yidrosh ba'atmo"? As long as he doesn't make a torgamon or darshan himself, what if he has a big, a loud voice? Then that's what's aser. Or is it where it is now? El yomel achmar erchel torgamon torgamon shalva, oh Yidrosh ba'atmo, it's mutter. So is oh Yidrosh ba'atmo part of what's aser or part of what's mutter? This is a big machlokas in. Different people have different shitas. How do you know different people have different shitas? Because two reasons. Number one, because if you look in the Baragola, you see there's like parentheses with a circle inside. So that means a footnote in the Baragola. It says, Kach tzarech leos makom hagazu. This is the right place for this hagah. Obviously, other people thought this is the wrong place for this hagah. V'chein mefurish b'braisa sham is mefurish in the braisa. Chein mashme hedra b'ashiri. Mefurish in the braisa and the rush. Okay, the later going to point out, if you look at the Bryce, he says not quite so mefurish, but it's mefurish in his interpretation. However, if you look at the parentheses is Mordechai Hilchas Avil. In the Mordechai, the Rama didn't write the parentheses. Whoever wrote the parentheses clearly did not hold like the Baragova, because the Mordechai Hilchas Avil clearly says he can't darshan himself. I mean, it's clear what the Mordechai says. The Rama could or could not be passing like the Mordechai, right? The Baragova says he's passing like a Bryce and a Rush. Ashiri is a Rush. But the Mordechai clearly said Aser. So here we have a machlokas, what the Rama meant. The truth is, the simple pshat, I would have thought the Rama meant like the parentheses say, not like the Baragola. Because in the Daki Moshe, he quoted the Mordechai. He didn't quote the price on the Rush. So, okay, so here we have, in Rabin Trichalo, here we have what's Aser, Yomar Limiturgamon, what's Mutter, Yomar Laacher, the Acher the Meturgamon. What does Rama mean by Yidrosh Ba'atzmo? So according to the Baragola, that is part of what's Mutter. According to the Mar Mikomos, the one who wrote the parentheses, that's part of what's Aser, and that belongs after the words Lo Yamid Meturgamon. Okay, Lamaisa, I don't know how often it comes up nowadays. Nowadays, usually we live like in a world of modern communication, etc. You know, there's enough rabbis someplace that the rabbin usually don't need one particular rabbi. I've never seen a rabbi darshan during Avelis. Not with a Meturgamon, not without a Meturgamon, not by himself. Why? Because in the old days, there might have been a little shtetl, and Pesach was coming up. People didn't know how to kasher their kalim, so what are you going to do? This guy has to tell them, right? Otherwise, they're not going to be able to keep Pesach. Or whatever, they didn't know how to build a sukkah, or, you know, you never know. Nowadays, you know, worse comes to worst. Another rabbi will drive in and sub for him. You know, they have an assistant rabbi, or they have the rabbi in town over will send over his assistant rabbi. So I don't think it's so shaykh nowadays.
What if I don't want to say, but what if the, you know, biggest magic year that people might aren't going to come to the substitute?
So it's an interesting question. Let's get to that in a second. Let's get to that in a second.
Is a heter o yidrosh ba'atmo meaning because it's shinoi?
So why would be it? If you say the isser is yidrosh ba'atmo, I understand. He's very connected. And therefore, it's not like a Brahma. He's very connected to the Talmud Torah, Barabbas. So therefore, it's more of a spirit as a Velus. I like this far better. I'm with the Maramakomos. I like, and the Darki Moshe quotes says Osir. So that would make sense. Our mother followed Darki Moshe. You never know, but it would make sense. They followed Darki Moshe. The more closely involved he is, the worse. The more chaver it is. The more Osir it is. The Baragolas far would be, no, a Maturgamon is Hashivas. To speak through Maturgamon is like Hashivas, and to teach Torah but often show Hashivas, that's improper for Avelus. But if you darshan by yourself, that's not Hashivas. And therefore, he's Mamait the Hashivas. I think that would be the Svara. Mamait the Hashivas. As opposed to the Svara to Aser, which is just to be indirect. So I must admit, my sympathies are not with the Baragola. And even though he quotes a Brisa, the Achron, right, that the Brisa doesn't necessarily mean what he says, it means, okay. But Lemaisa, I don't know, I haven't seen people do this nowadays. He can also pass an individual Shaila. Obviously, we're talking about it's a pressing Shaila. Like most Shailas need to be answered within a week, right? To a Yochid, we ask him if there's no one else. Again, that's very unlikely nowadays. What do you mean there's no one else? Like, you know, we're not in a shtetl, we have telephones. Generally, there's someone else they could ask, right? But theoretically, if there'd be no one else, then he could answer a shayla, because that's Rabban Tzvi Chanlo. And even though it's a yachid, that counts as Rabban Tzvi Chanlo, meaning people need him to paskin, even if there's only one guy at a time. Ela v'Tzvi Chanlo. Avol also lomar lochel talmidim. He can't give shir to his talmidim. V'chei nogin apshishish mekilim. Okay, there are mekilim. That's a question of whether teaching to the talmidim counts as Rabban Tzvi Chanlo or not. What's the suffix here? So the suffix here is, if... it's not the Talmidim aren't the Rabbim. It's not that the public needs him. Talmidim isn't the public. Talmidim are the Lomdim. So the Bnei Yeshiva. So would the Bnei Yeshiva or the Lomdim learn better if they heard a Shir? Yes. But it's not like the need of the Tzibur. The Lomdim, they can learn without him also. So here we have three different opinions. Already the Ramah says that it's Usher, but Yesh, Mekilin, and the Taz. Is Makel and says, after 3 days he's more Makel. Okay, many times when there is a machlokes, where Machriya to be Machra, the first 3 days in Makel, afterwards, just like we saw by Dabra Aved, or sorry, by an Uni, you know, who doesn't have food other than Tzedakah, by Avelus, because the first 3 days are Bechi, there's more importance to not be distracted by anything. That's why we're more machmer. So that's what the Taz says. The Taz says, Lomon halachim talmidav la'achar gimel yamim is included in Rabban Tzvi Chanlo. Now it's a little funny. He doesn't say the first 3 days. Apparently he's in between Rabban Tzvi Chanlo, the talmidim. And I think part of the, they're actually number one because maybe the talmidim aren't the Rabban. They're only the lomdim. Also, because like, the lomdim can learn without him, just maybe not as well. Right? It's not like they can't learn, right? If the Rebbe's gone from yeshiva, the guys can still learn, just better if they have shir. Unlike like the rabbin, who just won't know anything if there's no one to teach them the halacha. So it's interesting, you know, I'll have this question. What about a magid shir who everyone comes to, and they wouldn't come to someone else's shir? Is that rabbin? They wouldn't go to someone else's shir because he's a better magid shir. So is that rabbin Tzvi Chanlo or not? Yeah.
What do you think? It's just more about that parent comes to the Isser. You know, like by Talmud Torah, like you're like they're not. That's it. If it's Alchanan's case, then they'll never come up. If they won't come to the Shir, actually, then you know that then you're going to end up doing the Isser that you're afraid of.
So you want to say maybe Rabban Tzvi Chanlo?
Like to improve your Talmud Torah is what the Rama was talking about, but like the in like Alchanan's case, when you for sure say that to Mosher, they're not going to do whatever the like that's the case of the of guy asking a Shaila. So to speak.
Interesting. I hear the Taina. let's see if he says anything about Rabban Tzvi Chanlo. Lahoros Halacha. Aha. So what is the Bar Shulchan says? No, even if it's not Halacha Maisa, just they wouldn't learn otherwise. And there'd be no one else to teach the Shir. Now again, you have to figure out where to draw the line. Well, if someone else teaches here, no one would come. The Seder, you know. Where to draw the line? Not clear. Maybe that would be like halachal talmidav. But interestingly, the Bnei Shulchan here says, and he says, kach nir l'nis daiti. Okay. That he thinks, even if it's just bittul Torah of the Rabban, even if it's not, afreshim isur of the Rabban. Okay, so it might depend. You know, you have to make a judgment call. You know, three less people would come. Obviously not. So you'd have to know where to draw the line. L'maisa, when it comes to Lumot Halachim and Talmidim, so the Taz says mutter after 3 days. The Ramah says Aser Legamre. L'maisa, nowadays, every place I've seen the minhag is like the Ramah. That when the Rebbe's sitting Shiva, he doesn't go give shir to the Talmidim after the first 3 days. I've never seen a Rebbe. Even, Beit Talmid Chacham will give amazing shir and enhance the learning of their Talmidim. I've never seen anyone do like the Taz. The minhag Olam seems to be like the Ramah.
I thought
he was talking about the Rabbin. The Rabbin wouldn't learn. Not the Talmidim will learn. They just will learn better with the shir. Right, so again, when it comes to, let's just chazer for a second, the Rabbim is mutter. When it comes to the Talmidim, says the Ramah Aser, says the Yeshomrim mutter, right, that for us is Yeshomrim mutter, says the Taz, mutter, Achar Gimel, the Minhag Olam is clearly like the Ramah. You've never seen a Maggid Shir get up in the middle of Shir and go to his yeshiva. Again, maybe it's only because you can always get a substitute, but usually they don't get a substitute. They just help them and learn on their own. Oh, they'll learn a little better with the shir. Okay, but they'll also learn on their own. They won't be misbata legamre. So it's not like the rabbit. Yeah, talmidim or talmidim. Now the question, what about tinokos? Talmidim means yeshiva bracha. That means tinokos shel beis rabba. What about tinokos? Right, what's the problem with tinokos? The problem with tinokos is that they won't learn without the Rebbe. Not only that, they won't even learn with the substitute. The Gilyan Marshal on the side here quotes on the Maharshal. He's very realistic. Apparently, Marshal knew the way the world works. He says, 1 second, I thought it was the Gilyan Marshal quoted this Maharshal. I definitely saw it inside the Maharshal. Here it is. Gilyan Maharshal, Demasal Asalomar Halacho, Malavit, Hinokos, Kasav, Bedekabayas, Haviki, Rabim, Tsrichimlo. The king cast of a chuvas marshal, Avshish Rav Acher, even though there's a substitute, him, they won't learn so hard to think Rav Shein Kuvulahem for a substitute teacher. Everyone knows you don't learn when there's a substitute teacher, right? No one ever been to school? No one learns when there's a substitute. Give me a break, that's ridiculous. And therefore he says, like Tinokos Shabbos Rav, but maybe Taka, that's a case where you can't send a substitute. The Talmidim, you can always send a substitute. Okay, they like the Rebbe Shir better, but fine. The Rav, you can generally send a substitute now also. But the Tinokos Shabbos Rav, that one's teaching second graders. I don't know, substitute comes, second graders won't learn. We all know how the world works. So then, says the Taz, Kol Shekein Tinokos is Mutter Achar Gimel. Mutter Achar Gimel. But says the Marshal, and Paskin in the Shach here, in the Shachs of Cut and Bays, and really it's a Bet HaKabayis, meaning the Bet HaKabayis of the Beis Yosef, what he added in later to the Beis Yosef. Shem Orchus Chaim, Velan de Tinokos, is two reasons why it's mutter. One, it's Rabban Tzrichim Lo, and you can't send a substitute because they won't learn. Two, it's Dabar Ha'avein if the kids don't learn. So, he doesn't mean Dabar Ha'avein on the salad. So, says the Marshal and the Shach, based on the Orchus Chaim, mutter legamre. Okay, say the later Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's okay to be somech on the Shach. You have a loss of your somech on the Shach. So the Aruch HaShulchan, he doesn't say the Taz is totally wrong, but he says, lo hifsid, hamekel, somech on the Shach, lo hifsid. Seems to say a second grade rabbi can go, the whole Shiva can teach his Talmidim, because of Dover HaAved, and because of Rabban Tzrichalon, you can, the substitute, they're not going to learn. Halach l'maisa, the minhag nowadays is nonetheless not like the shach. The minhag nowadays is that if second grade rabbi sits shiva, he doesn't teach the whole shiva. Why? I don't know. It's a good question. It could just be that nowadays our whole idea of work is different. Nowadays the second grade rabbi also takes off, he has a family simcha out of town. We have vacation days and sick days and this and that and... Okay, nowadays we have different ideas. So what's it going to be? He can take off to go for his divrei reshus, but he's not going to take off for avelus. You have to know your context. You can't say I'll be mekel and avelus and then let him take off other days. So the minhag nowadays, I don't know what they do in other places. Like, I don't know, maybe there are places where The Rebbe is not allowed to miss even, I know Zilberman's, I'm sure there's, I never seen the employment contract at Zilberman's, but I'm sure I know what it says. I don't know if it's written, but I know what it says. It says, unless you're dying, you come to work and teach the Talmidim. Right? And try your hardest not to die.
If your relative dies.
And so I don't know what the Zilberman's does if they're, maybe the Rebbe's new coming with the Shulchan Shiva. I have no idea. Or maybe somehow they're telling them a so stock they listen to a substitute. I don't know. But Lamaisa, the minhag is, our minhag is, that the Rebbe doesn't go in at all. Okay, maybe just in the modern world, things work a little differently. But I've never seen a second grade Rebbe go in either. And it happens all the time. I mean, it's second grade Rebbe sits Shiva as much as anyone else. Statistically. So, okay, our minhag seems to be more machmir than the halacha on this. Now, there's a few other issues that come up here, interestingly, in the Pesach Tshuva brings down an interesting kula. The Taz has a kula. The Taz really belongs a little later. Even though it's in the Sifkatan here, it really shy to a little later. The Pesach Tshuva has an interesting kula. What about an yontif? Someone's an ovel on yontif. How is someone an ovel on yontif? Not they were an Ovel and then Yontif came. Then Yontif would break Shiva. But if they buried on Chol HaMoed, or in the old days they used to bury Yontif, then they have to keep the Yisrei Avelos till the end of Yontif and then start counting Shiva. But they keep which Yisrei Avelos? Obviously only Dvar Shiva Tzina. So Lachor learning Torah Dvar Shiva Tzina. Right? And we possibly learning Torah Dvar Shiva Tzina. So you would think that someone who's an Avelos on Yontif is also to learn Torah. That's what you would think. After all, someone who's an Avelos on Shabbos is also to learn Torah to the Dvar Shiva Tzina. So you'd think Yontif is also to learn Torah. Says the Chacham Tzvi and the Das Eish. No, there's a heter. Why? So they have two different reasons. The Chacham Tzvi says the heter is Bittul Torah. Really? Bittul Torah, or rather the Chiyuv Talmud Torah, is more important. An Avel shouldn't do Bittul Torah. It's Asurim to learn. Okay, but there's a solution in Sif Dalet. It's Asurim to learn, but he's allowed to learn depressing things. So says the Chacham Tzvi, really, he should never, no one should ever have Bittul Torah. He should learn depressing things. But on Yontif, you can't learn depressing things. Because it's not Yontif, and therefore they're a matter for him to learn all of Torah. Okay, the Pesach Tshuva questions this. No, maybe you should learn depressing things on Yontif, because inside is depressed. Okay, the Chacham Tzvi has a very clever answer. He says that since you can't learn depressing things on Yontif and you don't want to do Bittul Torah, it's much to learn on Yontif. The Das Eish that he quotes here has a more fundamental svara. He just says, no, in Yontif is the Chiv of Simcha, which is Docha Avelos, and the Chiv of Simcha, now, it doesn't require washing, so don't wash. It doesn't require anointing, don't anoint. It doesn't require Tash Shamita, don't do Tash Shamita. But Simchas Yontif requires Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is an etzem part of Simchas Yontif. After all, we know Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Lachem, that an etzem part, right? What's Simchas Yontif? Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua argue. Simchas Yontif means eating, or does it mean eating and learning? Does it mean eating or learning? But we see that learning is an etzem part of Simchas Yontif. And therefore, since learning is necessary for Simchas Yontif, unlike other Dvarim Shiva Tzina, it's not necessary to bathe for Simchas Yontif. It's cute, it's covered, but it's not necessary to bathe, and it's not necessary for Mishavish Mitasa for Simchas Yontif. But it's necessary to learn for Simchas Yontif the Chiddush of Das Eish, and that's why it's mutter. Okay, Lamaisa, whether for the Chacham Tzvi's reason or the Das Eish's reason, we pask it's mutter if they're able to learn on Yontif. Sif base. Im ha'avel kohen being vexes kohen acher, also the lalos lichos hotor. The assumption here is that it's also the kohen to get an aliyah. Why is it also the kohen to get an aliyah? Because of Talmud Torah, because getting aliyah is learning Torah. You follow along the aliyah. It's that's a double pasha. Usher in the Shiva house, they can't give the Avel and Aliyah. Even on Shabbos, they can't give the Avel and Aliyah. Because Dvarim Shiva Tzina, everyone doesn't know that he's not getting an Aliyah. I mean, most people don't get an Aliyah, right? So if the Gabbai decides, I would have given this guy an Aliyah, but I won't because he's an Avel, that's Dvarim Shiva Tzina. It's only in the Gabbai's mind. Gabbai can't announce, I would have given this fellow an Aliyah on Shabbos, but I'm not because he's an Avel. That would be for Hesya. Okay, but an Avel's not like an Aliyah. The Chiddush here is, even if he's the only Kohen, you might have thought the Inyan of a Kohen is Doche, the Isser of Talmud Torah for Avelos. Kamash Vlad, no. The Indian of a Kohen is not Docha the Yisr of Talmud Torah for Avelos, and they should just give a Yisrael instead. Yes?
Maybe there's a mistake in the Kohen. Should get the Aliyah, because otherwise they have to explain the reasons.
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Could be on Shabbos, but not on weekday.
Right.
On weekday, it's much of a Shabbos fair. So.
Well, why?
As a matter of fact, sorry, just Rabbeinu Tam, he always got Shlishi. He was like a Chassidish Rebbe. So in a good way, it's Rabbeinu Tam, right? So he actually got an Aliyah on Shabbos when he was sitting Shiva, because he said that would be for Hesha. If it was, that would be noticeable, right? So okay, on Shabbos, in rare cases, an Avol can get an Aliyah where it would be noticeable otherwise. But on weekdays, you should never get an Aliyah. Anyway, Kohen, so they won't give him the Kohen Aliyah, no big deal.
But why isn't it noticeable as other than for
Kohen? Here it's talking about a weekday, right? That's exactly what the Shach says. You're mechamin to the Shach, no? The Shach says that this is only referring to a weekday. But on Shabbos, if he's the only Kohen, then they're allowed to call him up. That's exactly the Shach says. The Shach is mechamin to Cheski. The Bach says, why aren't we worried about Fils Bar Hesya? Shach says we are. This is not Hilchos Shabbos. I'm the one who... It's Ben Marsh's fault. I brought examples from Shabbos. There's no Shabbos in Shin Pei Dalet. Shin Pei Dalet is not about Shabbos. So Shin Pei Dalet's a weekday. On a weekday, even if he's the only Kohen, you call Yisrael and become Kohen. And because after all, what's the only reason we never skip the Kohen? Because you don't want to cast a person that's Yichus, etc. Okay, if he's in Shiva, who knows, right? No one's going to think he doesn't have Yichus, so then call him up when he's in Shiva. So the Shach says Ein Hanami on Shabbos if he's the only Kohen, we won't call him up. Otherwise, we prefer Hesher. Halacha wise, we pass like the Shach. On Shabbos, if it would be the talk of the town, otherwise you're allowed to get an Aliyah. And if he's the only Kohen, then everyone says Yisrael can come Kohen. Oh, there's a Kohen. Oh, he's sitting Shiva, so he's being misavil. That's a Vils for Hesya. And therefore, if there's two Kohanim, you give the other Kohen the Aliyah on Shabbos. If there's one Kohen, on a weekday, you call Yisrael Ben Grom Kohen, and on Shabbos, you give him the Aliyah, exactly like Chesky suggested. Sif Gimel. In ancient Mishish, follow Hotz's Rabbin Dichavos, and Yochel Avil is follow Otzion. Yeah?
Isn't the Avil going to follow along to our reading anyways?
No.
No.
Well, first of all, the Ola is supposed to read along, right? Normally, you don't read along. And second of all, like the Ola is really, the Balkori is a shliach of the Ola. So the Ola is really the motzi that's, you know, responsible for Talmud Torah on behalf of the Tzibur. What about Be'etzem? Should he, when he goes to Shul on Shabbos, should he zone out during Levi? No, Balkori, when he goes to Shul on Shabbos, he doesn't have to zone out. That's not called Talmud Torah, to just sit there and listen to the Kriya.
What about during the week also?
That's a. I hear your taina.
It sounds like from what we're about to say about davening for the Alma that there's a difference between something for the
Rabbi. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Let's see. So the Bader Shulchan asked this question. He says, we never found it's from to listen to laning. L'chor it's much different to listen to laning, and L'chor the heter there is it's a Seder Ayom. Okay, the Seder Ayom is mutter. After all, Pesukim Dezember is also Ksuvim.
Korbanos?
We'll get to that. He asked this question. He says, what do you mean? Seder Yom, of course he's allowed to listen. No one ever said he has to put cotton in his ears during laning. So he says, what's shot? So he quotes in the Sefer called Das Kedoshim, asked this question. He lives at Tzarchion, right? He assumes, no, the Aval doesn't have to zone out during laning. He's allowed to listen to laning, so what's between listening to laning being the Ola for laning? So, I can only think of two ways to answer, both of which he has problems with, Ayin Shum. One, you could say, is when you listen to laning, you have to say it. The Ola has to read along, right? We know the halacha is the Ola has to read along, some people don't, but that doesn't make it okay. The Ola has to read along.
As a matter of fact, they said the Rav was very machbed when he was the Ola. And he was often Ola because he was a late man, because he was rough, to read along with Bal Kore. And he read along sometimes so loud that the Bal Kore couldn't even hear himself. And the assumption is that it wasn't a shita, it's just that the Rav didn't realize how loud he was. And most people, someone would yell at them and say, you know, you're too loud, you should be quieter. And everyone was intimidated, so he just, in his dying day, he never knew that he was reading too loud when he was the Ola. Okay, that's the assumption. No one ever asked him for the same reason. But yeah, no, it's a real halacha. You should be makir to read along. So maybe because reading along makes it different. Or maybe you could say, like the tzibur, even though we don't pass like the next mechaber, which makes it a little tricky, not when you're being Ola Talmud Torah for the tzibur, that's more, that's like an additional Talmud Torah, more than just the Seder Yom of listening. So the Baal Shem Tov is not sure. Why is being Ola to represent the tzibur in Talmud Torah and having the Baal Kori be your shliach worse than just listening? But it could be that it is, that a Talmud Torah de Rabin is more than Talmud Torah de Yachid. And that's why it would be usher, especially if you say maybe it's like the Torgamon or something, right? It's the equivalent of, oh, something very fancy and something very public and chashuv. Okay, so there's basically two ways to answer Zev's great question, which is a comment to the Baal Shulchan. Either number one, the reason it's usher to get an aliyah is because you have to read along, or number two, the reason is because Barabbim, it's more chashivas of Talmud Torah and therefore it's worse. I'm sorry, just for the Mechaber would be very easy, but since we don't pass the next Mechaber, but we don't pass it that way.
I don't remember if I was asking about he or her to adopt the word on me, but for that. There,
yeah, but we really Paskin here is not Kedibur Dami most things. A little Talmud Torah maybe. It is a Yeshlayan. Okay. Gimel. The Mechaber says something strange. If there's no one else who knows how to be the Chazan, the Spal Lohotzi is Rabbi Yechovasan, then the Avel can be the Chazan. Sounds like L'Chathil, the Avel can be the Chazan. Only if no one else. It's not Talmud Torah to be the Chazan. So a lot of the Achronim, like, what did the Mechaber mean here?
What's so bad about being the Chazan? Only be Mokum Tzorach.
The assumption is there's some chashivas of being motzi the rabbin, which is inappropriate for an avel.
He doesn't mean chazan like the old version of chazan, like Bal Kore.
No, yispalel.
Oh,
yispalel. So some of the echronim say maybe he only meant when he would be motzi the rabbin. Nowadays the chazan not motzi the rabbin, but it doesn't matter. Even so, let's say he's motzi the rabbin birkas kriya shma like in the old days. So what? So the assumption is the mechaber had a sheet that there's some chashivas of being motzi the rabbin that is inappropriate for an avel. We don't pass like the Mechaber, says the Aruch HaShulchan here. It's not only Magum Tzorach, it's Heter Gomer. We pass and there's no even Isser L'Chachila. There's nothing wrong at all with being a Chazan. Not only that, it's better to be a Chazan, so you can say Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch, which is the Elohim Neshama. But, so we pass in for against, the Aruch HaShulchan says there's two reasons we're against the Mechaber. Number one, it's necessary for him to always be the Chazan for Elohim Neshama. And number two, there's nothing wrong with it in the first place. Even theoretically, if it wouldn't be necessary, it would be Mutter. Okay, so we pass in Legamri against this Mechaber. O mitzvah is Paul Shachar Arvid Mokar Shemei Shama Filo Ein Ovel Ki Yesh Mezen Nachs Ruch Neshama Ovel and Star of Dominion. Okay, there are must as two things we already mentioned. Number one, it's a mitzvah to daven where the person died. Because it's an Elohim Neshama, although we remember that we already learned that that's only if there's not a minion of the Avilim elsewhere. Usually there's a minion for the Avilim elsewhere. And the Avil counts towards a minion, which we also mentioned previously. Someone asked about Korbanos. Can the Avil say Korbanos? So here, there's two reasons why the Avil can't say Korbanos. You can look at the Pesach Chuvah of Katan Beis, he says. Says the Zichron Yitzchak, an Avil during Shiva shouldn't say Pita Maktoris and Seder Korbanos. Why? Learned from Tisha B'Av. What do you mean Tisha B'Av? There's an Isser of Talmud Torah. An Avil can't say Korbanos because of Talmud Torah. That's one reason. But in the Sefer Chomos Yerushalayim, in the name of the Tvua Shor, he says a different reason. Avil called Shiva L'Yomer Korbanos, then the Avil Yom Shleach Korbanosav. So before Shemar passed by the Rambam, an Avil during Shiva. As a matter of fact, the Rav held this was Doraisa, although that's a Chiddush. I'm not sure if I would write Rambam this way. But an Avil during Shiva can't send Korbanos, meaning not only can't he go to the Beis HaMikdash, big party. No, he can't even sit at home and say, someone take this cow and go be makrivit for me. Or someone else can't even be makriv his cow without asking him. An Avil is mufka from Korbanos for 7 days. Why? Because Korbanos are called Shlomim, and even the other Korbanos are commanded for Shlomim. And Shlemus is the opposite of Avelus. Shlemus, when someone's not an Avel, Avelus, they're not Shalim. And therefore, since Korbanos have to have Shlemus,
and the Aval is no Shlemus, he can't send Karbonos. So it's not just Talmud Torah, it's that he's fundamentally excluded from Karbonos. Okay, and then the Piskei Tshuva says that the Chomos Yerushalayim is a fact-bake on this, and he says, well, as long as he doesn't say the Yerubtzon, it's okay. It's only us who say, you ever notice in some Sidurim, we have like Yehi Ratzon, it's as if I brought a Chatas, Yehi Ratzon as if I brought an Asham, or the more Maduric ones, Yehi Ratzon as if I was Chayav a Chatas, I brought a Chatas, Yehi Ratzon as if I was Chayav, and Yehi Ratzon as if I brought an Ola, Yehi Ratzon as if I brought a Shlomim, etc., etc. Anyone who learns yesterday's Daf Yomi would want to assume, I never checked the Sidurim, because I don't have that in Meiser, that there's no Yehi Ratzon by Bechor and Meiser, right? Because there's no Hatzah. But the Hartzah. Yeah, learns all. There's no Ritzoy. You don't get Ritzoy from Bechor and Meiser, only from all the other Karbonos. Oh, we're not going to talk about Pesach. Anyway, he says if you skip the Yeratzon, then it's not like bringing Karbonos. It's just like learning. This is interesting. When do we say the Gorah Deinu Menachos, right? It says those Torahs Ha'Ola, whoever learns, at least according to one day, another day even more bad, whoever learns Torah of the Ola counts if they brought an Ola. So it's Torah Samincha, if you learn the Torah, the Mincha. So apparently the Torah sure says, no, you're not allowed to say Karbonos, that's like bringing. The Chomosh Yerushalayim says, no, you're not allowed to say the Yerotzon. If you don't say the Yerotzon, you can just consider it learning. The Maisa, and then he says, he wonders why the Chomosh Yerushalayim didn't bring up the Yisur of Talmud Torah. L'chora, because he held, there's a heter called Seder Hayom. How can they all say Kriyashma? The answer is Kriyashma, Seder Hayom. Seder Hayom doesn't count as Talmud Torah. How can the Avil say Psukei Dezimra? Seder Hayom doesn't count as Talmud Torah. Not only that, how can you say Birkas HaTorah, Yivarech HaShem Yishbarach, and Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shir, and Eilu Dvarim She'adam Ochel Paraseyam? Seder Hayom is different. How can you say Yivol Etzion, right? Yivol Etzion is Talmud Torah. You learn Psukim with the Taich into your vernacular. Seder Hayom is different. So the question is, do Karbonos count as Seder Hayom or not? So the Zichron Yitzhak Asserd, he says that Karbonos is not Seder Hayom. Karbonos is learning. Apparently, the Chomos Yerushalayim for sure held Karbonos were Seder Hayom. But they're Asser for a different reason, because of Avel is Mufka from Karbonos, and the for sure says always Asser, and Chomos Yerushalayim says Mutter, just skip the Yeratzon. Halach L'maisa, how do we paskin? Halach L'maisa, we paskin, the later Achronim say, like a modified version of both Isurim. We paskin like a partial version of both Isurim. What do we mean? We parse like both Isurim, but in a more make a way. Number one, Asur Mitam De Avel Eino Mishaleach Karbonosav, but Mutter as long as you skip the Yerutzon. Like the Chomos Yerushalayim against the Tuah Shor. Two, what about Seder Hayom? Aser Mishum Talmud Torah. But the required minimum is Mutter because of Seder Hayom. How do we know what's Mutter to Seder Hayom? That's easy. Look in the Art Scroll Tisha B'Av Seder. Right? Or Helchas Tisha B'Av in the Mishnah Berurah. In the old days, etc. What do we know there? There are different opinions. The mainstream opinion is on Tisha B'Av, we skip Karbonos and we skip Pita Maktoris, even in Israel where they say it every day, but we say Parshas HaTamid, Ezel Makoman, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer. That's a minimum. And therefore, Halach L'maisa, what does that mean? Halach L'maisa, just say Tamid, Ezel Makoman, and Rabbi Yishmael Omer, and we call it Karbonos, not technically about Karbonos, without Yehi Ratzon. You're allowed to say the Yehi Ratzon after Yishmael Omer. That's just Sheba Tavis, but you're not allowed to say the Yehi Ratzon that some people have in Ezel Makoman, and I think even not the Yehi Ratzon after the Talmud. Even though it's a little funny, the Yehi Ratzon after the Talmud is not his personal card, but it's the Talmud. Lachari shouldn't say that Yehi Ratzon either. So that's the halacha l'maisa. Just say those two things that you wrote on and know what we call Ink Telokenu or Pita Bava Torahs.
But aren't they, like, is it like not worth anything if you're not, like, learning it? You know what I'm saying? Like, as opposed to, like, Sukkim in the Torah or whatever, or, like, things that you could, like...
No, I didn't say he has to not understand what it says.
No, but I'm saying, like, isn't it clear that, like, the point is learning, not just, like, it's Seder Yom Tadako.
I mean, is this a Kasha Nobel or an everyone?
Right.
What do you mean the point is learning? So what does anyone say is a Makoma? Just learning, they're learning quickly. So they also learn it quickly. That's Seder Yom, he's allowed to learn it quickly for Seder Yom. Okay, Dalit. Omel Motu Likros the Eov Uva Kinos of Burma Rumshir Yirmiyah. He's allowed to learn Eov and Kinos and the bad parts, the punishment parts of Yirmiyah, the destructive parts of Yirmiyah, with Holocaust and Hilchos Avelos. He's allowed to learn these things. Does it say in the Gemara that an Avel is allowed to learn these things? What does it say in the Gemara? What does it say in the Gemara about these things? Where do these things come up in the Gemara? It comes up in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. In Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn these things. Is an Avel also allowed to learn these things? This is a big machlokas. The Torah quotes machlokas, the Rif Asard, and the Rush Matard. I don't know if he quotes by name. Or here at the Beis Yosef, Tosos Asers. Fine. Tosos Asers, and Rina Tam Aser until he changes mind, and the Rush Matard. Okay, why did Tosos Aser? If it's Motor Tisha B'Av, why is an Aser for an Avel? So here, there are two Hesberim. The Beis Yosef quoted, no, he didn't give a Hesber. He says, Avel is more chomer than Tisha B'Av. Shiva is more chomer than Tisha B'Av. After all, there's a Chiv Atif Zarosh. In Tisha B'Av there isn't. Chiv Kriyas Amita. Tisha B'Av there isn't. Avel is more chomer. The Rav had a different explanation. Not that Avelos is more chomer. It's that there's a reason it's much to read these things on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because it's a keem of the Yom on Tisha B'Av to read them. It's a keem of every holiday you have to learn the Torah of that Chag. The Torah of the Chag of Tisha B'Av and the Torah of Korban and Avelos. So therefore, it's only mutter to the Torah Sayom. But in Shiva, there's no din of Torah Sayom, right? There's no, like, waning of Shiva. There's no drushet of Shiva. So just like on Tisha B'Av, we have to lane for Tisha B'Av, we have to learn Tisha B'Av. So that's the Rav's Chak. He says a little more so than Beis Yosef. It's not just that Avil is more chummer. It's that them, even if they're equally chummer, Tisha B'Av has a tzorech of learning Hilchos Chag B'Chag. And the Hilchos Chag is the Chorban, is Eicha, and is Avelos. The Shiva has no fee of Hilchas Chag B'Chag. Okay, but for whatever the reason is, that's the sheet of Tosos and others. We don't pass that way. We pass it like the Rush. That and Ovel's also allowed to learn sad things. Why? Because if they're not sad, if they're sad, they're not the Sameach Leleif. And Halach Lamais, the Ovel can learn Hilchas Avelos. The modern day books say an Ovel who doesn't know Hilchas Avelos, Davka should be Machbid to learn Hilchas Avelos, so we won't do the wrong thing.
I don't know if it's damn fly. Subject matter. I thought the Shem Mishram calculated this because it's either Shem or the intellectual and also the intellectual.
Yes, whatever. But that can be counterbalanced by the sadness of the material. So it can even out to not be such simcha. Maybe a little simcha, but not excessive simcha.
So when you do something fundamental, meaning like going back to beforehand, like even if now I'm Aretz, it's not allowed to consider like. Regardless of whether or not
but look, that's what the Rav wants to say in Tosos. He wants to say there's no heter to do these things. It's always Besam Chilei. The reason it's Motor Tishvah is because even though it's Besam Chilei, it's a key of a Hilchos Chag B'Chag. That's the Rav's chish. But the standard assumption would be that even though it's a fundamental simcha on a philosophical level, and even though the fact that sadness is only on a psychological level, not on a philosophical level, nonetheless, the psychological sadness can take away from the philosophical simcha and leave you not so simcha. Okay, that's halakha maaseh. That's what we passed it. The Avel's allowed to learn Hilchos Avelos. Okay, are there limits that we can learn Hilchos Avelos? I'm not getting into the Makoros. We'll just run through it. Says the Mechaber, B'hani mi levinu levin atzol v'inu lomen al-cheirim. That's by itself. You can sit with the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Avelos, or nowadays with an art scroll or whatever. Or with the, you know, cutting with a rush. But Avel inu lomen al-cheirim. But he can't start talking and learning with people, because that becomes too much fun. And here we see, it's just, you psychologically draw the line someplace. It's not philosophical anymore. You know, it's more fun to learn with others than to read a sefer. Everyone knows that. Ellen Yoshua knows the Hilchos Avelos, but they can learn Hilchos Avelos in the Shiva house. We told Mashiv and Sofer Rafa. And if they make a mistake, you can correct them with a weak voice, meaning not with exciting voice. Says, I think you have to, you know, you have to pay attention to note this mistake, to note this mucker. But to not get into it. If we know Shoel, you can't like ask questions, like not shyless, meaning just for fun. This is all when the Rambam don't need him. When the Rambam don't need him, he can learn Hilchos Avelos or the Churban of Yirmiyah or Eicha or by himself without participating in Shaka V'Targa unless he needs to correct a quick mistake. But if the Rambam Tzrichlo, if he learns a Chesmoter, if Rambam Tzrichlo, he knows a Sukha he can darshan. We already know that. That's earlier. Okay, the big machlokas here is what it says in the Birkei Yosef on the side here,
Says the Birka Yosef, for Ish Lech Gdol Me Avelos or Yolom Me Helps Avelos, but Eon Nimrat Vino Menatzvel. Okay, he's the head of learning by himself, but Eon Nimrat. You know, a tremendous Eon. Mashav Chadish Vin Shakra Tariya Din Kol Sev Amal, and he would take notes and write up Chidushi Torah. And says the Birka Yosef, Li Ahed Yom Lav Shaper Avad, he's wrong, because if you're learning the Eon Rav, that's too much Simcha. You can learn Bikiyas, not Eon. Okay, this is a big Machlokes, as we know, the Rav learned Eon Rav Helps Avelos when he was sitting Shiva. So the question is, why is that? So, there are two explanations for why the Rav learned Ian Rav while he was sitting Shiva. Mamish Ian Rav. One explanation is that he held like the Gadol Echad against the Birka Yosef. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says, even the Gadol Echad, he wasn't trying to learn B'Ion, just it came up when he was trying to learn B'Kiyas. The Pashup Shad is he was trying to learn B'Ion, so it could be the Rav held like the Gadol Echad against the Birka Yosef. It could also be a different shot. There's a Yerushalmi that says, the Beis Yosef doesn't like the Yerushalmi, someone who's Lohat Achar Torah's Mutter. Someone who can't stop learning, Halavai, we should all be in that Madriga. Who Mamish, he's addicted to learning Torah. So they're a matter, because if he's addicted, never, poor guy. I don't understand, the guy's addicted to smoking. You tell him not to smoke for 7 days, how can he manage? Well, he won't be able to manage. The guy's, you know, an alcoholic. You tell him not to drink for 7 days, I mean, it'll be good for him, but it'll be very hard, right? So, guys, a drug addict. You tell him not to do drugs for 7 days, he'll go for withdrawal. Okay, so the Yerushalmi says, someone who's a Torah addict, it's hard for him to go for withdrawal symptoms, and therefore they're a matter and avelus. So I never asked the Rav. Actually, someone said they did. Was the Rav's heter because he held like the Rishalmi, it was only meant for him because he was addicted? Or did he hold like the Gadol Echad that everyone's allowed to learn how to Zavil speak Yun? But someone, I heard from some Talmud of the Rav, the second way, wasn't based on the Rishalmi, it was based on the Gadol Echad. That the Rav held, there's no such thing as learning without Yun. And therefore, if the Mechaber says to learn, you can learn but Yun. Okay, the Magen Avraham Chavos Tishko also says like the Birka Yosef. Okay, so there are two explanations why the Rav learned B'Yun Rav, either special heter of the Yerushalmi of an addict, or like the Gadol Echad, all learning has to be B'Yun. The way I heard from his Talmidim is that all learning has to be B'Yun, but I never asked him myself. Anyway, Lamaisa, for most of us, the standard Minhag Olam is to only learn B'Kiyas, like it says in the Birka Yosef, and also in the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Hey, Avil Shesh Abadim Timing Levat Mudam. An Avil who is little kid should not be Mavatal from learning. You should never be Mavatal kids from learning. The Shach says, even if a kid's an Avil, kids are Potter from Avilus, they should keep learning. It's a little unclear. Why didn't he say if kids are Avilim, you shouldn't be Mavatal them? Why didn't he say if the father's an Avil, you shouldn't be Mavatal them? Like, what's the having Mavatal them if the father's an Avil? So it's not exactly clear why he expressed it that way, but Lamai said it doesn't matter who's the Avil. The father's the Avil, the kids are an Avil, maybe they're all Avilim. The kids are not misbatal from their learning while they're avelim. Again, nowadays in different communities they do different things. You know, we wouldn't be mivatal them legabri and asha them in Talmud Torah. You know, but you know, in a lot of our communities where the kids would not necessarily go to school if they had, you know, all kinds of shtuyot or their families going skiing or whatever. So then they might take off a little from school, you know, when they're someone, a family member sitting Shiva. So, okay, yeah, it depends on people's general lifestyle. But fundamentally, you know, there's no need to be involved with kids from learning.
Again, fathers allowed to teach them, even though generally they're allowed to teach others, but not like this could count as with Zoras.
That's interesting. I don't know. It doesn't sound that way. That's a chiddush, right? You're making a chiddush l'kula.
Right.
It doesn't sound that way. It really doesn't sound that way. I don't know. It's a good question. I know the Bar Yeshulchan wonders about this strange formulation. It does not suggest that answer. It doesn't mean it's impossible. But I think Halachal Maisa would rely on that. Okay, we'll pick up Mirza Hashem with Simin Shin Pei Hei next time. Yeah, that's what Bar Yeshulchan wanted to say. He wanted to say the Havmi is the father is such simcha when his kids learn that it should be Asur. Kamash will not. That's
true. I would imagine.
Yeah, but it's sort of, you know.
But
it's a more abstract simcha.